much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
By frequency modulation, these relayed programs are transmitted from station to station, from city to city, and from mountaintop to mountaintop without telephone connections by means of crystal clear FM broadcasting.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I always knew them french fries was evil, man. Smelling all good and I don't trust no food that smells that good, man. I don't trust it. I just can't because I'm in McDonald's, man. Damn.
If you don't believe me, then why don't you go check the tapes, okay? Just check the tapes, man. It's on the tapes. Check the tapes. Check the tapes. Check the tapes.
We will.
You guys actually tape us? That's so messed up.
You're trying to tame a wild horse. I gotta see the world, man.
And now.
Oh, my God, you are both idiots. How about you two just f*** each other off?
Our feature presentation.
It's a good solution, I feel like.
Okay.
No? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 1st of September.
Yeah, it is. What's going on, you guys?
New month, new beginnings. Really going to change things up.
We're going to start things over?
Yeah.
And really...
really buckle down and be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to start moving in a positive direction.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are we going to...
We're going to stay focused?
Yep.
And tell me if this is maybe our new slogan.
Uh-huh.
Make Kevin and Bean great again.
Oh. Yay! Kids love it.
I hear that's the direction things are going. They used to be great, then they're not great, and now you make them great again.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I'm not... Did they used to be great?
Oh, that's
in our
point.
Case. Well, like, I don't know that again needs to be.
That's
yeah,
right. Make America, make Kevin and Bean great. I guess.
Right.
Also,
for the first time, or as well
yes,
as other
well,
people.
As well.
That's a good point.
Hey, what was that?
I'm just thinking. There's a number of angles to get into this story.
We had since yesterday at 10 a.m. for you to think.
I know.
Okay.
Look, we're winging it here.
Yeah.
I don't believe that most people are afraid of clowns. I believe that people are raised hearing that other people are afraid of clowns, so then they say, oh, I'm afraid of clowns, because mm-hmm. they've heard it their whole lives. I honestly believe that.
Why do you believe that?
Because I just don't think... I don't know.
Because clowns don't scare you?
I have clown feelings. No, clowns don't scare me. They don't... I don't think they scare most people.
But
I don't
what think are you clowns, basing that on?
The fact that clowns exist and they are popularly used, the fact that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have clown birthday parties for their little kids indicates to me that there are millions
right.
of people out there who aren't afraid of clowns.
And then those little kids cry, and then they have therapy later.
But what I'm saying is I think little kids are susceptible to other people that they hear say, oh, I'm afraid of clowns. And they don't even – they're not afraid of clowns. They don't know why anyone would be afraid of clowns. But everybody else says they're afraid of clowns, so they think, oh, I guess clowns are a thing you're supposed to be afraid of. I think you teach your kids to be afraid of clowns. I do.
Oh, terrifying.
So you hear that?
Yeah.
Having said that, there are some things about this story that we have been following over the past few days out of Greenville County, South Carolina, these clowns are very sketchy. Very sketchy. There's the Fleetwood Manor Apartments is near some woods and a pond, and multiple children have reported that they have seen clowns come out of the woods and try to summon them into the woods.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Yes.
Now, why would there be clowns doing that, I wonder, if they in fact are?
I would guess prank.
I would hope
funny.
Prank.
Yeah.
I would
best
hope
case scenario
it.
Is
yes.
somebody's just having a laugh, right?
Yeah.
Let's just assume
let's
it's
stay
that.
With prank. I like
yeah,
that.
Because prank
it
makes
fun.
Us all laugh.
Police have not been able to substantiate the children's claims, but a police report from the first clown sighting on August 21st revealed a suspicious character dressed in circus clown attire and white face paint enticing kids to follow him or her into the woods. A woman told a responding deputy her son said he had seen clowns in the woods whispering and making strange noises at about 8:30 p.m. that night, according to the report.
Why is the kid in the woods at 8:30 p.m.?
Well, again, this is an apartment complex, my sense is, that's on the edge of the woods. So maybe the kid was just out in his backyard,
okay.
but he could see the woods. She said the boy led her to where he saw the clowns, and then she also saw them flashing green laser lights before they ran away into the woods. Around the same time, the woman's older son reported hearing chains and banging on the front door of their residence.
Nope. All right. I love this.
I am out.
You're out?
Yes.
I love this.
Yes.
Now, I don't know anything about clowns, but are chains, I mean, chains and banging on the front door, that's more ghost behavior, isn't it, than clown behavior?
What if it's a clown ghost?
Right.
Well, maybe
right?
it is. Oh, I didn't even thought about that. Right. The deputy investigating the case said another woman at the same apartment complex said she saw a clown outside around 2:30 a.m.,
Well, that's when clowns do their best work.
Really? The large figure clown.
That's the sweet spot for a clown.
Don't get any of these before midnight clowns. They'll just rip you off.
2 a.m. is the prime time for the sketchy clowns.
The sketchy clowns are really very good. I just got their EP. It's terrific. The large figured clown with a blinking nose standing under a post light near the garbage dumpster area waved at her. And she waved back. The suspect did not approach her or harm her. Okay. Several children in the area have told police that clowns had displayed large amounts of money in an attempt to lure them in the woods. The children say they believe the clowns lived in a house located near a pond at the end of a man-made trail in the woods. However, the sheriff's deputy investigated, and the house was abandoned. There was nothing, clothing, or anything else that indicate that somebody lived there.
The clowns wouldn't know they're coming, B.
Right.
Come on. They just clear out for a minute and then go right back in.
So it's been about 10 days since the sightings began, by the way. Monday night, you want more? You guys want more?
Yes, please. I love this.
Monday night, a teenage girl told sheriff's deputies she saw a man taking pictures of kids and shortly after saw a man wearing a clown mask coming out of the woods. In the most recent incident, Tuesday night, police responded to a clown sighting near an apartment complex where a witness said the clown left in a car. Now, clowns don't usually get in cars unless there's like 10 other clowns in there, right?
Right.
Clowns don't drive alone.
No. Those tiny little funny comedy cars.
Yeah. Like Chip's car.
I would think so, too. So, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any kind of circus in town, said a police spokesman. There's crazy stuff all the time, but nothing along the lines of this to my knowledge. So they are still investigating. Police, as I said, have not seen any of these clowns themselves. But is it one guy? Is it multiple guys? Is it a group of clowns living in the woods? What's their plan?
Oh, man.
A
lot of questions.
I'm moving.
I love
live
it.
In that
I
apartment,
wouldn't at all.
I am moving.
I love that
I'm
so much.
I'm burning it to the ground. That's what
you're
I'm doing.
You're not just moving? You're
nope.
setting it on fire?
I'm setting the woods on fire. Everything.
South Carolina needs to secede from the Union. We don't want any peace at all.
No.
So anyway, I assume that, look, it's possible that it's just a prank and they mission accomplished and these people go away, we'll never hear from them again. But I'd like to think that there's going to be more and there's going to eventually be an unveiling and we'll find out what the hell's going on.
But we all hope that it's a prank.
Still a prank, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
We hope there's nothing nefarious and nobody gets hurt,
okay.
Of course.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
This is so boring and forever taking.
We talked to Dr. Drew on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to him about Wienergate. Is that what we're calling it? Is it Wienergate?
It should be.
I mean, it would be appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim Rome talks sports, like we do on Thursday. Speaking of sports, Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig!
Might talk to us today.
Wow.
We have a new Trump date for you, as Donald Trump continues to charm. The French education minister is banning Pokemon Go from schools. No more! He won't have it. And some more jokes. Now, I wasn't here the last time for Betty the Joke Man.
Oh, Kevin, you missed it.
But, Bean, this is a comedy writer who sends jokes for guys like us that do a radio show?
Yes, he will write comedy for you. He does topical humor.
And he's great?
He's phenomenal.
Okay.
He did write for Jay Leno on The Tonight Show for many years. He was one of the Jay's joke submitters.
All right.
And now he has a service where he offers material to radio stations or TV shows.
And it's great?
And he's phenomenal.
Okay.
And I think it's just what we need to make Kevin and Bean great.
Okay.
I feel like...
Don't say again.
Maybe you're confusing the word phenomenal with something.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
I got a new batch of free funny, and we'll go through it and see what you guys think. Maybe
this
is the answer.
Plus a recap of our breakfast with Sting, which...
Oh, he was so great.
He was fantastic. The crowd was fantastic.
Yes.
Everything except for us was fantastic.
I mean,
we are usually the weak link in any chain.
So we got a complete recap coming up in about a half hour right after 6 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I just wanted to.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6.
Right. That voice you heard whooping it up Whooping and Hollering.
Yeah.
He's our friend Ralph Garman, who's here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Okay.
All right.
Just celebrating.
Because we're celebrating.
It's Liberty Bell Day. You guys don't celebrate Liberty Bell Day in your households?
I got to be honest.
No.
This one's
Liberty
new to me.
Bell Day.
Is it the day it cracked?
No, Allie. It was the day it arrived in Philadelphia.
Oh.
In 1752.
How exciting.
It was very exciting.
Hmm.
Liberty Bell, of course, the famous iconic symbol of freedom and liberty in the United States, arrived in Philadelphia on this date in 1752. It was promptly booed by people in Philadelphia, and people threw batteries at it. Which I think seems inappropriate.
It is Philadelphia, after all.
How dare you?
You should expect that.
Ralph, forgive me for asking a question, but since you are a Philadelphia native and grew up around the Liberty Bell, how did it crack?
Well, Bean, I'm glad you brought that up, because people will be fascinated this morning by this lengthy historical story. No one is quite sure when the initial crack happened.
Hmm.
But it is a general consensus we can all agree on that it certainly widened and became the famous crack that it currently holds when it was rung on George Washington's birthday in 1846. It was at that point they decided never to ring the bell again because it had been so damaged by that ringing.
Well, definitely don't replace it.
Well,
just
no.
Never ring it again.
It's historical. You don't just replace it. Yo, let's just get a new bell.
It's broken. Get a new one.
It's a piece of Americana. It's historic.
I just don't care at all.
Happy, happy Liberty Bell Day, everybody.
Fire beer mug.
I don't think he had anything to do with the bell.
No,
cracking.
Bean did, because Bean asked the follow-up question, which
that
then
was
led
a legitimate
to...
question.
Sure. For your podcast.
We're talking about the Liberty Bell.
Right.
The first thing people think of is, oh, that's cracked.
One more important question, I think, may be, why does Kevin hate America?
I love
that's an excellent question
that we need to ask.
Yeah.
That we'll look into his background and find.
You mean
find
Kevin ISIS writer? Mm-hmm. Why does he hate America?
Well, I heard he found it. He founded ISIS.
That's
didn't,
true.
Didn't some guy say that he founded ISIS? Didn't there was then the guy who said that?
Hmm.
Wasn't there one guy?
I don't remember.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
I heard it someplace. If you wanted to get plastic surgery done on your face, what female celebrities would you choose to replicate? There's a definitive list out.
Okay.
By a plastic surgeon from the UK named Dr. Julian De Silva. Oh, he does good work. He surveyed thousands of his patients, and he came up with a list of the most desirable face and what celebrity features would be on that desirable face. Fan Bing Bing. Fan Bing Bing did not make the list. Excuse me.
So this is whose eyes would you want, whose nose would you want, whose chin would you want, that
Once
sort
again,
of thing?
Bean, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yes.
Wrong! Who has pretty face parts? That's what we're asking.
Wait, yeah. You said this is in Britain, so are all of the...
No, these are all international celebrities.
Okay.
These are famous ladies on both our shores.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie's cheeks, Kevin. Angelina Jolie's cheeks.
Cheeks, huh?
Made the top 10, absolutely.
What about Charlize Theron?
She didn't make the list.
Well, that list is wrong.
Just take the whole face of
that
one.
That's what I'm saying.
Just put that whole face on yours.
Stick it right on my face. Right.
Natalie Portman.
No, she didn't make
it. What?
Kate Beckinsale.
Did not make
it. Again, horrible list. Amber Heard.
No, did not make the list.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez's eyebrows. Everybody wants Jennifer Lopez's eyebrows.
All right.
That made the list.
All right.
This is odd. Cher's jawline.
It's strong.
Cher.
Strong
Songstress
jaw.
Cher.
Okay.
Made the list with her jawline. Women love her jawline, and they want her jaw.
Okay.
Huh.
It's not even Cher's jaw, by the way. Just
yeah,
find out whatever
true.
Doctor made her jaw, and then get that guy to do the work for you.
Hi, it's Kat.
What about Kat?
Kat did not make the list.
Okay. Oh.
Penelope Cruz's lips. They say she's got the best lips.
All right.
She doesn't jump to mind.
No.
I don't think Angelina Jolie lips first, right?
Yes.
But apparently, Penelope Cruz better lips than Angelina Jolie. She does have
Count Smokey loves.
Sweet ass lips. Count Smokey, yes. He's on the list.
He is?
Count Smokey's forehead, it turns out, is on the list.
Gat boy.
Gat boy. No, he did not.
Sarah Abramson?
No, she did not. Reese Witherspoon's skin. Skin. They want her skin.
Huh.
It's desirable.
That's weird.
This is getting creepy.
Yeah.
Adelazine.
And Selena Gomez's chin, apparently.
Whose eyes?
Whose eyes? That's my question.
Whose eyes? Keira Knightley's eyes. I told you that. Keira Knightley's eyes.
Oh, we were both not listening.
Yes.
We're
all not listening.
Sorry.
Pays goddamn attention around here.
Abraham Lincoln.
Let me bust out more Liberty Bell stories, because I got them.
Well, that's what put me to sleep in the first place.
Do you? Is it commonplace to field trip to the Liberty Bell if you go to high school in Philadelphia?
Are you going back to Bell questions?
It's an elementary school trip, usually.
It's like our La Brea Tar Pits.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Is that the Liberty Bell?
Someone's calling on the loud line. Is someone calling on the loud line?
No, they're calling on the let's interrupt this conversation
the loud line.
It is so loud.
Did someone call the it came I'm on, not quite sure how to modulate my sound effect line?
It came on a little strong.
Do you think? Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on today, the 1st of September. Zendaya. 20 years old today. She's hot. Dr. Phil McGraw. 66 years old today.
How stupid can you get?
Yeah.
Not a doctor.
Lily Tomlin, legendary actress Lily Tomlin, currently can be seen on Netflix, I want to say, with
Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie. And Padma Lakshmi.
Ooh.
Padma Lakshmi, hostess of the Big Cook.
Top Chef.
Cook Pot. I'm not really sure what that is, but she's 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after six.
By the way, starting tomorrow at 5 p.m. with our friend Ted Stryker, we're going to be counting down the 106.7 biggest party songs of all time. Doing that for you all Labor Day weekend long. You can go to KROQ.com and vote and also enter to win passes for Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas. You going to that, by the way, Kevin?
I am not.
The Sundown Music Festival in Huntington Beach.
Let me revise that. I'm not positive.
Also, a festival called the Caboo in Del Mar. Unfamiliar with that one, but you can enter to win all that, and details are available at KROQ.com.
So we've done a lot of breakfast widths through the years. We've had some big bands. We did U2. We've done Green Day. We did My Chemical Romance.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We did No Doubt. I mean, we've...
Metallica, Jack White, Arcade Fire. It's been one of our favorite things to do throughout the years. And I got to tell you, Sting, maybe top three for me in terms of how great he was as an interview and as an artist.
Oh, wow.
Having top said three. That, top three. Okay. I want you to rate us.
Oh.
And our performance at the beginning of The Breakfast With.
Now, what did I say? We're always the weakest link in the chain. You know that, Kevin, in any event.
Now, what I'm about to play is the intro. This is what was going on the air at the beginning of The Breakfast with Sting yesterday morning at 8 a.m.
Okay, now before you hit that.
Yes.
So we're in this room doing the regular show.
Yes.
And then we walk down the hall into the Red Bull sound space here at K-Rock. We're the 150 people, and our job is to welcome everybody to the breakfast.
Which is 60 feet, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not far.
Okay.
And then bring Sting on stage to play his first song. Now, I don't know if this factors into the story or not, but as we all left the studio, we had 3 minutes to get down there and start the broadcast.
Right.
Kevin decided he had to go poop instead.
No, I did have to pee, and I was desperate. I was like, it's going to be a whole hour, so
right.
I can hurry.
Sure.
So
I took maybe 14 seconds.
I don't know where this tape begins, but it's already in progress when Kevin shows up.
Okay.
Right? Whatever bad is happening is already happening before Kevin even gets into the room. So he walks into the middle of this having no idea what's going on.
All right. Now, before I play it, I'm going to tell you, Bean, that this is accurate. It has not been doctored at all.
Okay.
We didn't shorten it for time, although we normally would. But you're going to hear nothing for a long time.
And this was on the radio.
This is what the listeners heard that were listening to K-Rock.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the introduction, and then enjoy.
Let's get ready for breakfast! The Kevin and Bean Show's Breakfast with Sting. K-Rock.
I feel like we could be talking during this part.
This is real.
Oh my God.
35 seconds. 40 seconds.
See, we don't know we're on.
as we were 45 seconds. 50 seconds. Now, here we go. Here we go. We're going to make a strong start now.
Okay.
Hello, testing, testing. Hello, testing. Let's kill that other music, please.
Hello, testing, testing.
Are we being told that we're live? Are we actually on the radio right now? This is a very janky operation.
I don't think we're on the radio. I think we're streaming.
I think Christina's telling me we're on the air.
Are we on the radio?
This is happening? This is real?
Wow.
Hey, you guys.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
So that's how the Breakfast with Sting began.
That
he still
long.
Came out and played?
There was 55 seconds where no one said a word, and then when we started, it was testing, testing.
Well, again, we didn't know we were on.
Right.
They're playing music in the room.
Right.
That little intro that said, hey, Breakfast with Sting, blah, blah, blah. We didn't hear that
right.
at all. So
he's trying to pass the buck right now is what's happening.
Well, I'm just saying we accurately fail. Describing what we absolutely fail.
We fail.
But I mean, we had no idea. I'm glad nobody said the F word.
So that was the beginning of our Breakfast with Sting.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
After that, it went relatively well because then Sting was playing music and we were actually able to ask him questions. Bean asked Sting a question about covers, people who make covers of their songs. Mm-hmm. And at one point we referenced Josh, who is Josh Fries, who's drumming with Sting yesterday. And he's a friend of ours and we really love him. So anyway, this is that question and answer. And I thought it was fascinating.
How you feel about the many, many, many cover versions of songs you've written throughout the years? Have there been some that you've been delighted by, others you've been disappointed in?
No, I would never be disappointed because I get paid.
Thank you, Josh. On it.
And I've also heard some songs that were influenced by my work.
You're going to sue Bruno Mars, though, right? That guy's got to bring him down.
I love Bruno. But, you know what I'm saying? So that just feels like an honor to me.
Right. Yeah. Eva Cassie, that's the one she mentioned when she wrote in this morning. Her Fields of Gold was one that she in particular was just, frankly, I think she said it was better than your version.
No, I think her version is much better. It's a sad story because her best friend, you know, she's dead.
Yes.
Her best friend, when she died, she sent me this song, and she said, my friend died, and she recorded your song, Fields of Gold. Would you listen to it?
Wow.
And I listened to it, and I thought, God, this is so, so beautiful, and I had no idea what would happen to it. Then a DJ in Britain heard it. It became a massive hit in England and then a massive hit in America. So I always think of Eva when I sing the song myself. So
that's a lovely story.
That's a lovely story, Bean says.
That really is. That was very touching, and I didn't know that about that. So
Sting still sounds unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
His voice is still crazy.
At 8 in the morning.
Yes.
And at 64 years old.
This is a little bit of Message in a Bottle, just so you can get a sense if you didn't get to hear it yesterday.
Seems I'm not alone in being alone. 100 billion castaway looking for a home. I send an SOS through the world. I send an SOS through the world.
All right, so recapping, Kevin and Bean, none, Sting mm-hmm. all.
Yep.
That's about right.
So that was a little Message in a Bottle. Here's a little of his new song, I Can't Stop Thinking About You.
I can't stop thinking about you. I can't stop wanting you this way. I can't face living without you. That's why I'm searching night and day.
Great song, by the way.
It is a great song. It's great to have a new album coming out from him in November. We don't have time for Every Breath You Take?
Do we need
to take a break? Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll play the live Every Breath You Take, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's coming up next. From yesterday's Breakfast with Sting. This is, by the way, this particular part of the song is, I think, a clip from one of his new songs.
That's right.
That we didn't really know about, but he's starting into one of his new songs, and then he morphs into the other one. And it's fantastic. Live Sting from yesterday's Breakfast with on K-Rock.
Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be
Los Bandoleros. 1, 2, 3
God, that breakfast ended better than it started.
That is, again, a highlight, a live highlight from yesterday's breakfast with Sting. His new album, I think, is going to be great. It comes out on November the 11th. So thanks again to him and everybody that made that possible. And thanks to you, the Kevin Bean listener, who came down to be a part of it, too. It was a lot of fun. All right, let's change gears here. Pokemon Go, back in the news, you guys. I have not been hearing as much about it as I did a few weeks ago, but apparently it is still wreaking havoc. Kevin, you had an experience when you were on vacation with Pokemon Go. You almost got trampled, right?
Last week I was in New York City and just walking across a crosswalk. Mm-hmm. We almost got demolished by a group of, I'm guessing, 50 or 60 people.
Like on a Pokemon tour type of thing?
That were running, looking at their phones, just running. And some of them were running across the light when they weren't supposed to, and everybody else was getting mad at them. I mean, it was insane.
Oh, geez.
And I said the same thing, Bean. This is still a thing, right? I thought it came and went.
Now, why do you have to run, though? Is the Pokemon, is the character that you capture, do you have to be first captured and then nobody else can get it? How does it work?
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah, he guessed.
I don't know. I don't really play the game, so.
All right. Well, the reason Pokemon Go is back in the news is because the education minister in France said in a press conference earlier in the week that he, or she, rather, is going to be meeting with the California-based company, Niantic, that makes the Pokemon Go, asking them to tweak the game so that there no longer would be these popular Pokemon Go characters at schools. They're worried about people ending up at schools, you know, around a bunch of little kids while they're playing Pokemon, and maybe some of these are less than desirable
Pokemon,
people.
Mon. For God's sake, say it, Mon.
For the love of God.
Just say it, Pokemon.
So I guess they're going to just try to have them removed from the schools, and we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave, who's not here, so then we asked producer Christine if she could then find somebody for us, and we have Henri Ducard, who is with the French Education Ministry, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hello, Mr. Ducard.
Oh, hello. How are you today?
You are French.
I'm so French.
You are very French.
I am eating a croissant.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And a baguette,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And some fromage,
uh-huh.
All at the same time.
That is very French.
It is very French. I am wearing a beret.
Sure.
And smoking a cigarette.
Uh-huh.
As well as drinking burgundy wine.
That's about as French as you can.
Yeah, you're the living personification of French.
Kissing another person with my tongue.
Okay. All right.
Okay, good.
So
that's
what's
how French I am.
Right. You're very French.
Well,
right.
That is called...
It's called French kissing,
French
right.
Kissing.
French kissing,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you also have a wife and a mistress?
I do.
Okay, good.
And I am also marrying my mistress and getting another one as well.
Well, that seems very French of you as well.
It is.
So, Mr. Ducard, let's
talk
about...
That would be a ménage à trois.
Okay. Oh, which is, again, a very French word.
Also very French.
Right. Right. So, tell us what
I love Jerry Lewis.
Right. All French people do.
And I'm quick to surrender.
Right.
Those conflicts.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
so,
right.
Listen. The education ministry has taken, it seems to me, a very strong stand against the Pokemon. What can you tell us about it?
I also like eat frog's legs.
Mm-hmm.
Frog's
right.
legs,
yep.
Right.
You are French.
Very French.
Got it.
I'd like to hope we have established that I am French.
Indeed. Right. That has been established.
I hope you do not doubt my... Francois-ness.
Right.
We could not.
Okay.
All right. So, Pokemon.
I eat cold soup.
Right.
Called vichyssoise.
Right.
But right.
What we were going to ask about was Pokemon Go in schools.
Ah, Pokemon Go.
Right. That was our question.
How I rue the day Pokemon Go became a thing.
Has it really caused a lot of problems in the schools there in France where you are currently talking to us because you're French?
So many problems here in the French schools.
Right.
Uh-huh.
With the children running around with their phones trying to catch them all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then also with the strangers coming near school property where they do not belong.
Oh,
and it is causing a great angst and anxiety for those of us who are charged with protecting the children.
Okay.
If I see someone look for Pokemon Go near my campus of school,
mm-hmm.
I react with such fury.
Oh. What do you do?
Any other questions?
What kind of fury are you wielding?
Well, it's the best. Hey, stop playing Pokemon! I punch him in the face.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting it to be quite that strong.
Hey, sir, stop playing Pokemon! Stop it! Oh, that guy was just talking to someone on the phone.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
Sir. I apologize. I thought you were hunting Pokemon. I apologize.
Do you not at least ask or check if they're playing Pokemon?
I should revise my my technique for understanding what they're doing with their cellular phones.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I am just so angry.
Right.
By the emotions that take over when I think of Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, Pikachu, how I hate you. Now stop it!
Hey, don't...
He's really maybe going for it.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! there be in your body? Oh.
All I got out of that was motherless whore.
Crap, he was playing words with friends.
Oh, man.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome at 8. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show because, you know, it's Thursday and that's what we do. We don't have, it's fairly obvious if you've listened to this program for any length of time, we don't have writers. It'd be a lot better if we did.
Isn't it funny, though, how many people ask if we have writers?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, people ask us if we have writers, and I say, does it sound to you like like we have writers?
We don't have writers, but I know that they are very popular. They're very common. I mean, there are a lot of shows, you know, Ryan Seacrest is one that comes to mind, that has prepackaged bits that are written out, and they have actors playing roles and things like that. You know, we've got...
like Ryan's Roses is a service that that he subscribes to, and it's all fake, and they're all actors, and it's just a bit that he does. We don't have those.
Well, there's a guy named Benny the Joke Man.
This is the guy we need.
This may be the guy we need. Benny offers, he's available to write for you. Benny's joke sheet, it says on his website, is more than just pages of professionally written comedy material. It's the best way to stay topical, relevant, and interesting, whether you're programming to a music or talk audience. In case you're wondering, Kevin, about Benny's background, he started his writing career with Joan Rivers. He wrote for Yakov Smirnoff and for Richard Belzer. Then he was signed on by The Tonight Show with Jay Leno back in 1999, and since then, Jay relied on Ben for large portions of his nightly monologues. So this is a guy with a professional pedigree.
And obviously very current.
Yes, his website has not been updated, apparently, because Mr. Leno no longer is the host of The Tonight Show. So we reached out via the website to ask for some samples because, who knows, maybe we're missing the boat. Maybe Benny the Joke Man is something that would be beneficial to our program. So I do have a list of jokes that I'd just like to try out and see if you guys think this is right for us.
Okay.
All right, where do I even start here? Anthony Weiner's political career appears to be over. You know you have issues when you're too sleazy to be a politician. It looks like Weiner's finished. He's just been invited to appear on Dancing with the Stars. More problems for Anthony Weiner. Last night, he accidentally texted his wife.
Maybe it's the delivery?
Is it me?
I don't feel like it's a delivery problem. Okay, okay.
I feel like
the funniest person alive could read these.
Okay.
Let me try a new, new topic. Maybe the Wiener stuff didn't hit. All right, let's do some sports news.
Maybe the Wiener.
Colin Kaepernick is now under fire for wearing a Fidel Castro T-shirt to a press conference, but he has a good excuse. He said his Hillary Clinton shirt was in the wash. No, nothing?
I mean...
Hawaii is facing the threat of back-to-back hurricanes. In a related story, President Obama is encouraging the First Lady to go to Hawaii. Now, help me break that one down, because aren't the Barack and Michelle Obama
they
appear to be
pretty
solid,
happy,
right?
Yeah.
Why would the president be asking his wife to go to Hawaii for a hurricane?
Unless he's basing that on all of the rumors around Bill and Hillary.
So
what does that
Bill
have to do with President Obama?
No, I'm saying I don't know why he would say that, because I haven't gotten that impression either.
Huh.
All right, here's a timely joke. This one makes sense. According to a new study, dogs understand human speech, so be careful what you say around Chelsea Clinton.
Now,
hasn't Chelsea Clinton grown up to be a very pretty, very accomplished young lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that joke from when she was kind of an awkward teenager?
Maybe when she was like
13
ago? Yeah.
Has he written anything? He has current because your Wiener joke.
Yes, this is this week's sheet, you guys.
Okay.
All right, let me find some more stuff here. A lot with the election, of course.
Sure.
How about this? This is as timely as this week. Hillary Clinton has just picked up a major endorsement. Unfortunately, it's from Chris Brown. Now, does that even make sense?
No.
Hillary Clinton's medical condition has become a serious concern. To give you an idea how bad it is, she has a new Twitter follower, the Grim Reaper.
All right, I got to tell you, that joke wasn't funny.
The delivery
was funny. So that, okay, what one.
You'll give him that one?
We got one, yes.
Again, looking at the Betty the Joke Man
how
on the trail.
How many have we told?
I don't know.
15?
Like
17.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, we got one.
Hillary Clinton is now, maybe I should just work on my delivery. Maybe I'm the problem here.
Sure.
Hillary Clinton is now under fire for sitting during the national anthem. Insiders say it wasn't a protest. She just couldn't stand up. Okay, here's one. I think I understand this one. Yesterday, President Obama delivered remarks at the Lake Tahoe summit where he promised if you like Lake Tahoe, you can keep Lake Tahoe. Is that an Obamacare joke? Is that like you can keep your doctor?
I don't know. I know he was there talking about conservation.
Right.
But
keep Lake Tahoe blue or something? Is that like a thing?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But what does it mean if you like Lake Tahoe? I don't know.
Keep it. It must be a reference to Obamacare.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't know.
All right, a couple more. Is Oprah in the news? Because he's got an Oprah chunk here. Oprah Winfrey has announced that she's lost 30 pounds, which means her weight is now in triple digits. Is from Benny the Joke Man.
All of our weight is in triple digits.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
That's pretty much true.
That's a super good point.
All but children.
Yeah.
It's estimated that Americans will consume 130 million hot dogs over the Labor Day weekend. That number is down 5% from last year because Oprah's on a diet.
Yeah.
Oh, Mugs liked it.
This is September is National Child Obesity Awareness Month, you guys. Our kids are so fat, teen boys are happy just to get in their own pants. You like that one?
She liked it because it's stupid. So I mean, it's so bad.
Carol Burnett has written a memoir.
Yes! Yes! Wait, this is on the current page of jokes?
This is today's joke sheet, Wednesday, August 31st.
Okay.
Carol Burnett has written a memoir, and it contains some surprises. For example, she's still alive. Okay. Despite that, lady, are we in or are we out on Benny the Joke Man? Is this what the Kevin and Bean Show has been missing?
I feel like we can be bad on our own.
Okay.
Okay.
We've got that handled.
Okay. All right.
We've got that on lock.
Sorry, Benny, not this time, but try again later.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
We haven't done what's good in over a week, you guys.
Thank God.
Because what happened?
Thank God.
I went on vacation. We were doing what's good. I come back. You guys lost all confidence in it.
Well.
What went wrong?
I haven't lost confidence
in it. I like what's good.
I love the people and I love talking to the people, but there was a lot of haterade happening while you were gone on what's good.
Because Kevin, you know how you will see an end to a phone call and you'll do the ring?
Sure.
And it's helpful.
That tells people, there's other people calling, move on.
Yes. Bean would then ask 2, 3, 4 follow-up questions.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like maybe the call should have been shorter when they started talking about death and how someone is dying and how, you know, that type of thing.
Or
maybe
photography
move on.
Class or...
yeah.
So it's on me is what it sounds
well,
like.
Well, I mean, no, it's just you made it a little longer than it should have been.
Hmm. Look, I have a 10-second timer, so I'm just...
10 seconds.
I think 10 is short.
No, no, no. Well, I'm saying...
split the difference.
If things start slowing down or we start feeling like we're losing confidence in this call, then we start the timer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then if they haven't turned it around by then, boom, we move on.
Wow. No pressure there.
No pressure.
Kevin, do you think you could successfully make it...
Wow. Do you think?
I know I can't. But do you think if your stories all depended on getting past that first 10 seconds, you think they would all make it?
No,
if you come out with a strong hook, if you come out early with something good and interesting, people will give you all the time in the world.
Right, and I misspoke if I said it was only 10 seconds. That's only when we start to feel like, oh, no, this is going south.
Right.
So we don't start the clock until it starts going south.
When we steer into the skid, then we have 10 seconds to either... fall off the highway or get control of the car again.
And we're going to fall off the highway. Let's be honest. We need to hang right up and move on. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call any topic. TV shows.
But make it interesting, apparently.
New music.
It's a new rule now we have for what's
that a bad rule, you think, Bean?
Well, now you got to make it interesting.
Maybe you know where the best
burger
is. You should
call with something interesting, yes.
Maybe you know where the best burger in L.A. is.
Right.
I don't think something like that.
How do you like your milkshakes?
Right.
That's also
right.
What
you call you need us to settle a bet? Whatever. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do what's good next. And I think it's going to work. I got a good feeling about it.
It's the new and improved What's Good for September on the Kevin and Bean Show, right? We're turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Cool.
Right. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, I cannot believe this hasn't happened already. Shocked. Shocked, I say. That this hasn't been in the works. I just assumed that it was. You know how they're making every movie into a Broadway show.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they take every band that had more than 10 hits and they string those together into a Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motif now of how you get a Broadway show launched.
Right.
Is they take something that pre-existed and they repackage it and they put it up on the stage. It's too expensive a proposition to go with anything original anymore. Even though Hamilton, which was completely original, was the biggest hit on Broadway.
Yeah.
So, just goes to show that they don't know their A from a hole in the ground. You know the movie Moulin Rouge? Baz Luhrmann film Moulin
yes.
Rouge?
Yes.
Great
amazing.
Movie.
Ewan
Great
McGregor.
Movie.
Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. Well, I loved this film.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem tailor-made for a Broadway show.
Yeah, would
just
be so?
Now they're getting around to adapting it for the stage.
Huh.
Apparently, they have asked John Logan, the screenwriter of Gladiator and Skyfall, interestingly enough, to write the script for it. And then they've got a director in who's going to oversee the musical production. But it's perfect because it's got everything. It's got a movie, plus all the songs in Moulin Rouge were already pop songs that Baz mm-hmm. Luhrmann sort of repackaged.
Yeah.
For that film, so it's
I'm
got
with you. I can't imagine
rooms.
This didn't happen before.
And it's colorful and dancing and stuff. It sounds like it'd be great. So I'm
I
excited.
Wonder if it was just a question of Baz Luhrmann if he's involved or not, just having the time to get to it because he's been so busy doing other things. Maybe,
but it sounds like he's just sort of going to oversee the production. He won't really have any hands-on participation. But I just think I cannot believe that this wasn't in the works before. Because
good call.
Perfect.
I like that Ewan McGregor singing Your Song from that movie. It was so great. And Nicole Kidman singing the Someday I'll Fly Away was a great song. I mean, that's tailor-made for Broadway. You're
come
right.
Come what may.
Oh, yeah, come what may. Come great song.
Come what may. I will love you until my dying day.
Looks like we have to go to a different guy for the rest of Showbiz Beat, Ralph.
Seemed like a really quick 10 seconds.
Come what may. Love that song. This is a great story. I love when bad things befall the Kardashian/Jenners. Kylie Jenner and her boyfriend Tyga were apparently enjoying a lovely day at a Bentley dealership because they were going to buy a Bentley because Tyga is going to roll deep in a Bentley, yo. And while they were in the Bentley dealership, the repo man pulled up outside and towed away Tyga's Ferrari.
Awesome.
How
no.
great is that?
That's so great.
Apparently, he hadn't kept up with the payments on his Ferrari, so while he's shopping for a Bentley, they repossessed his Ferrari.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
They must have been following him around.
Well, that's what repo men do, you know? They wait outside your house
or whatever.
I wonder
how long they were tracking him.
They wait outside your house for you to pull away, then they follow you till you park, and then when you go into the store or restaurant or whatever, they snag your ride, yo.
Ralph,
come one day.
Ralph, I don't know if we've ever told you this before, but we used to do a bit in the early days where Kevin and me do your job for a day,
mm-hmm.
and Kevin and I went out and we rode with a repo man. We got to be, you know, kind of in on going to a guy's driveway and jumping in the car and hot wiring it and stealing it.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. I don't know if I'd do
that's
that.
That's Kevin and Bean in a nutshell.
Yep, right
there.
It was terrifying.
That sentence.
It was great because you would sneak up at night and
yeah.
get into somebody's car in their driveway. And you
yeah.
think, if they know you're doing this, they're going to come out with a gun. It was great.
That's my point. That's why it was terrifying.
I need to go into that business.
But what about the gun part, Kevin? What makes that awesome is that they could come out at any time and shoot you.
But they didn't.
Okay, we got lucky.
That's Kevin's point, is they didn't.
I miss repo games. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great game, too.
You ask questions.
Right. If you answered the questions right, you got to keep your car.
That was awesome. That was an awesome show.
That's good television right there. That's not on anymore? Is that
I don't think so.
Oh, they got to bring repo games back if it's gone. Come on.
How about Repo Games, the Broadway musical?
I like it.
Let's put it all together.
I like it.
I do, too. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Padma Lakshmi.
I'm not sure how to say it, but I would put money on you saying it wrong.
But she is lovely.
Yes.
And talented and the host of Cook-A-Lot Joe.
Cook-A-Lot Joe.
I don't think
so. Story of a renegade chef who just wanders into town where people have trouble and he solves things with cuisine.
I don't think it's Cook-A-Lot Joe.
Repo Games and Cook-A-Lot Joe.
What's
we're looking
name,
for
stranger.
Top Chef
Cook-A-Lot Joe.
It's just Top Chef is all it is.
Never seen one episode. Top Chef.
It's very good.
Oh, stop it.
And by the way, Padma, you remember, Ralph, used to be married to Salman Rushdie.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
46 years old today. Lily Tomlin is 77. Dr. Phil McGraw turned 66.
Oh, you know, I occasionally might drink a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I drink with Xanax.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, well, I take 2 to 3 times what is prescribed for Xanax.
You shouldn't do that.
And pour alcohol on top of it.
Well, that's
and
not...
I've got 15 pill bottles with narcotics hidden under a shelf in a closet.
Well, if I was married to Robin, I would do the same, Phil. I don't blame you. And Zendaya celebrates her 20th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, it's the dawn of a new era, you guys. This is the brand new and improved, thanks to the timer, Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Alright, that's the number. You call us on any topic. Wow, looks like we got a good batch here. I am very hopeful. Why don't we start with John? He's in Westminster. He's on line 7 to get us going here on Game.
Alright, hey John.
Hey, good morning.
What's good?
So I'm calling to suggest a call-in topic.
Okay.
Products or services that you would never use because you don't like the person who endorses them, the celebrity that endorses them.
You know what? We have talked about that in the past, that there are associations with certain – you don't like the person, so you won't buy the thing or go see the thing or listen to the thing or whatever. What did you have in mind? What brought this to mind?
Well, I had two examples. The first one was the particular person. I will never use Progressive Insurance because I can't stand Flow.
What?
Everybody loves Flow.
I was with you right up until there.
I can't stand Flow.
Hey, why is the timer going on? That was a great example of what he was talking about.
But we love Flow.
She's horrible.
All right. Thanks for the call.
And he's just like that, he's gone?
Wow. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Right?
There's no way to control it.
It just happened.
There's no way to control whether you hang up on someone or not.
Right.
John, I apologize how rudely you were disconnected. Let's go to a James in Westminster, please. He's on line 8. He's calling about something I think we'll all agree on.
Hey, James.
Good morning. What's good is Sting.
Yes.
All right.
I'll tell you, breakfast with Sting yesterday. Thank you guys very much. He was incredible. I was closer to the stage than you guys were.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. But the beautiful thing about Red Bull Sound Space is that you could be in the back and you're still 30 feet from the artist. It's crazy.
It was awesome. He was rocking his 1957 bass.
Yeah, he was.
Seemed like he was just such a humble and charming guy. The new song was great, very Police-ish.
I agree. And let me tell you something else about Sting, because we've interviewed a lot of people with various degrees of success over the years. He is a great and easy interviewee because he is so smart and so articulate and so thoughtful. And I know he had to have been asked questions he was asked 1,000 times before, but you never know it based on listening to his answers.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sting's great. You're great. We're all great. Let's move on.
James, you hold on. This is for Bean.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Ourselves on the back. We put Sting on the radio. Congratulations.
That was
a waste of 2 minutes.
It's worth thanking.
Congratulating yourself that you put Sting on the radio. Well,
it's worth talking about how great Sting was. All right. Let's move along to Anthony. He's in Inglewood. He's up next on line 2 on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Anthony, what's good?
Good morning. I was actually calling to apologize to Ralph.
Uh-oh.
That is the perfect start to a phone call.
Okay.
He got right to the point. I'm calling to apologize to Ralph.
He's got my attention, that's for sure.
And we all lean in because now we can't not know what the story is.
Back in March, I got really excited. I bought tickets to the April Foolishness in the That's My John section. I got to meet all of you guys. All you guys were really great. But unfortunately, what ended up happening is I lost my father right before the show.
Oh.
And then my wife had to convince me. I ended up going, and I was like, okay, fine. I had one too many, and then I met Ralph.
Did you punch him?
No, I didn't. But
did you kiss me?
What ended up happening is I told him that I lost my father, and I feel like I was an asshole, and I kind of killed his night.
No. I do remember that conversation, Anthony, and you did not ruin my night at all, and I...
Ralph didn't care at all.
No, that's not true. We talked about it because I talked about how I lost my mom a few years back, and we had a lovely conversation. I remember it well, and I hope in some way, you know, it made your pain a little bit less because we were able to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say too is thank you very much, because during that time it was real heavy for me in my head, and you guys were able to get me out of it, and I just want to say thank you, because the levity was awesome.
You're very welcome, Anthony.
That's Bean,
no need
by
to
the
apologize.
Way. That's Bean playing that sound
well,
effect.
Because we got human for a moment. Right. There's actual emotion.
There was actually a guy saying something that mattered.
That could not be tolerated.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you,
yeah,
Anthony.
Thank you.
No apology necessary, buddy.
Let's try, how about Sergio and Orange? It sounds like it could be great or terrible.
All right.
Perfect. By all means, let's roll the dice.
I think Sergio is a high wire act, you guys.
There's right. either three shells in the gun or it's three blank spaces.
Sergio, what's good?
Hey, Mr. Ryder, Mr. Back to Mr. McKay.
Hey.
Hello.
Bean, I have a list for you.
All right, I love lists. You know that?
It's a short list of alternative names for the morning show. For whenever Kevin is on vacation or lost or can't find his card.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying is, recapping then. So
I feel Jesus. Like there's no recap.
We got it.
Fine.
He
so said it
fine.
We
understand
no, what
no he's... recap.
So
no recap.
So no 20 recap. Days a month. What are we going to call the show?
All right. The Ally McBean Show. The Bean and She Bean Show. Two Beans in a Pod. The Uncle Creepy and Sister Crazy Show.
I like it.
Ally and Bean's Amphitheater of Reciprocity. To incorporate Dave, the Refried Beans Dip and Chip Show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cute.
All right.
Yeah.
He's done some work. Yeah. Look at this.
I like
He's
it.
More work into the show than we have.
The Ally and Bean Get Mug Show. The Ally and Bean Get Chip Mug Show. The Mexican Chumping Beans Show. And to incorporate my man, Ralph Garman, the Frank and Beans Show.
There you go.
There you go.
Not Ladies bad. And gentlemen,
there
well,
you go.
The call is over. Thank you.
Thank you.
The call is over.
The call is over. Thank
I
you.
Think just drop the phone.
I think maybe that's a good one to go out on you. A very successful What's Good, you guys. Thank you.
What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:23.
49ers are playing tonight, by the way. And all eyes will be on Colin Kaepernick to see what he does during the national anthem. We'll talk about that and everything else going on in sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8. First, though. I have to give Donald Trump, the next president of the United States, a lot of credit for being brave enough, and I'm not even joking when I say this, to actually step foot over the border into Mexico. He has been out there for a year calling Mexicans rapists and talking about how he's going to take everybody and send them back, and yet he still went there. Wouldn't you be terrified if you were Donald Trump with that lead up to your visit?
I don't know, though, because you got the Secret Service. At this point, he's got the Secret Service, and they're the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they would put him in danger.
Well, Donald Trump had a meeting yesterday with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto talking about that wall that we've heard so much about. So we want to find out how the meeting went. It's time for a Trump date.
He's a guy.
Sit down.
Mr. Trump, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hola, muchachos.
Oh, no.
Mucho gusto. Yo soy el Donal.
Okay.
El Donalo.
Right.
El Donaldo.
You could actually, English is fine on this show, Mr. Trump. It's
fine.
Well,
I would speak English, but I'm just very, very attuned to the Latin and Mexican personality and to their needs and wants, and I'm just very tuned into that right now.
And when did that start?
I can't help it, but I'm very much in league, in the same spirit as our Latin brothers and sisters. So me gusto mucho.
Okay.
All Latinos, todos okay. Latinos.
That is now, quite the pivot.
It is. It definitely seems like after a year of calling them rapists.
Well, now. Not the good ones. There are a bunch of good ones out there.
Oh, there are some good ones.
I talk to every day. I'm on the campaign trail. And millions and millions and millions of Hispanics come up to me and say how much they love me and they're going to vote for me.
It's funny because here in Southern California, we don't get the sense that you have the Mexican community behind you.
Well, that's because... Orale, vato, okay?
Okay, you're just saying Spanish words now.
Listen, piñata. You don't know what I know. And I know that the Mexicans love me, first of all.
Okay.
And we're gonna do a great job in November. The Mexicans are going to turn out and vote, as long as they can read my name.
Okay. See, I don't think... I feel like maybe that's not going to help.
We'll have to agree to disagree on this one. Because all right. I went to Mexico, for God's sakes. I talked to them about this amazing wall I'm going to build. It's going to be huge.
I hear it's going to be a beautiful wall.
It's going to be a beautiful wall. You won't believe how beautiful it's going to be, okay? Mm-hmm. And frankly, Mexico should be happy because I'm bringing jobs to Mexico. You know how many Mexicans it's going to take to build that wall? A lot of Mexicans.
Let's talk about that for a second, Mr. Trump.
So
because
many Mexicans will be building that wall.
Right. But you've been saying for a year, more than a year, that the Mexicans were going to also pay for the wall. Yet when you were face-to-face with the president of Mexico, the man from whom you want the money, you didn't even bring it up.
I did bring it up.
He says you didn't.
Well, Mexicans are liars. We know that, first of all, right?
I'm not helping.
So, I don't think you're helping yourself here.
First of all, I love Mexicans. Please
you do.
Vote for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Secondly, a lot of them lie, okay? Let's keep that in mind.
Okay.
So what has to happen is he has to tell the truth. I said, you're going to pay for it. And he said, no. Now, I don't speak Spanish, so I'm not sure what that answer meant.
No means no.
I think
it's
yes that he's going to do it.
I think it's a no. He's saying he's not going to pay for it.
Means something else.
Now, did you try a taco bowl while you were down there to see if they were as good as the ones at Trump Tower?
I had the most amazing taco bowl in my private plane on the way to Mexico, but I didn't eat any food in Mexico because, you know, it gives you the runs.
Wow.
Do you have advisors? Does anyone talk to you about...
Well, first of all, I advise myself,
right.
Okay, because I have the best brain.
Right.
And my brain told me that I'm way behind in the Latino vote.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And so I better show up someplace and pose with somebody.
Could we hear a few
more? I called George Lopez. He was not available.
Okay. All right.
And so then I went to Mexico.
Okay. Could we hear some more of the Spanish that you picked up while you were down there, Mr. Trump?
De nada. Mucho abierto. Todos los abuelos en la cabaña.
It's like having a native on the phone, you guys. Very impressive.
Sit down. Because I remember I was traveling a lot for the Cuban national baseball team.
Uh-huh.
And,
hang on,
I was really upset because they made a soup out of my sister. And
okay.
It was,
all right, but, hold on. Pause right there.
My uncle was fighting for Che Guevara.
Yaciel, hold on just for
okay,
one second.
Hang on a second. We've got to tell what's going on here. It's Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Yaciel Puig, ladies and gentlemen. Los Angeles Dodger major leaguer is in studio. He, of course, was sent down to the minors. And now there's been a lot of chatter over the last 48 hours or so that perhaps Yaciel Puig, the Boston Red Sox, might be interested in calling you up to their club.
Era, I like chowder. Era, go to the bar with the car. Like that?
Yeah.
That's my Boston accent.
I got
it's
it.
It's very good.
More than a feeling. More than a never
right.
been
that's a band, though.
That's well, a band called Boston.
Yeah.
From Boston.
Thank you,
right?
Alex.
Was for the young listeners. You know, I know you try to keep it young.
Yes, thank you.
We talk to program directors, keep things fresh.
Right, sure. So the deal is you got sent down because you were not producing, frankly, at the major league level. And then it seemed like when you were down in the minors, all you did is party. What are you going to do differently if you're lucky enough to get another chance to play in the big show?
I'll probably, focus a lot more on my mental and spiritual health.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
good.
What I do to make myself, be a better baseball player. Yes, sir, please. Because
that seems like it's the right direction.
The skills are there.
Uh-huh.
I know how to play baseball.
Right.
Uh-huh. Since I was very young, the Cuban government, they give me, steroids and lots of training. I probably shouldn't have said that out loud.
As a little kid, they give you steroids?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember
my baby bottle was mostly a mixture of government milk and testosterone and antique. And I just swallowed it down. And next thing I know, I was like playing around, just playing a little bit of tag with my friend,
uh-huh.
Jose.
Uh-huh.
And I just put my hand right through his body like the Terminator.
Oh,
that's
no.
right. I pulled out his guts.
No.
I was like, oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But and at least you said you were sorry.
Yeah. I did. I had to go back to his mom. I said, I killed Jose. I didn't mean to. We were just playing tag. I went to attack him, and his guts flew out of his body. And she said, it's okay, because I know someday you go to America, be great baseball player. She says, you're very much right.
So she was fine with you killing
her
son.
She was a nice lady.
Okay, that's
it's
good.
Too bad that she was served to the rest of the village by Castro's guerrilla warriors.
Okay,
later that night, they made ribs out of her.
Oh,
they were good.
Wow.
It's much more like beef ribs. It's better. It's like beef rib, not like pork ribs.
Okay.
You know, when you have old lady ribs.
Right.
Now, you have to take what you can get. You know,
right. Yeah,
this was
food is scarce.
1985 in Cuba.
Sure. Sure. Now, in Cuba, you didn't grow up in a wealthy household.
No.
How did you have a glove and a bat, and where did you find to play baseball?
I made my first glove out of my foreskin. And then my first bat, unfortunately, is a terrible story.
Should we not tell it?
No, it's up to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Before I tell you this story, as I want to take better care of my physical, spiritual health, mm-hmm. I'm going to do an all-time Cuban ceremony for all of us to feel a little bit better. Ready?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Close your eyes.
Okay.
Now, Ali, take your shirt off.
Oh.
What?
All right.
Let me see your areola.
Okay.
It's good.
All right.
Now,
how come our eyes are closed?
Okay. Kevin.
Sorry.
You just keep it. It's nice. Okay.
Sorry.
Now, Kevin, mm-hmm. put your hand out. Mm-hmm. It's just a sausage.
What is happening right now?
Just
I do not want to open my eyes and even see this.
Daddy going to take care of it. Here we go.
No.
Yes, yep, we.
This is what you did as a kid?
It's a chip. Look, you want to feel a baseball bat? I carry one with me all the time.
You see, it doesn't seem like baseball. You're focused.
Oh, sorry.
On getting back to the big leagues.
All right.
And spiritual health, I thought. Mental health and spiritual
I'm going
health.
To be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm going to devote my time when I get back to Dodgers mm-hmm. to just slaying the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you should work on your batting average.
I feel like my mood will be elevated if I put more effort into the puntang. And that will make me better baseball player because Yasupi will be happy.
Okay.
You know, they have to have the team trainer ice me down right here in my lap because I'm going to be getting that mush, you know, like constantly using it.
Right.
I might get scars, tissue on my
on
my
dome.
Yep. I don't think you're taking this seriously at all yourself, but we do wish you the best in whatever club you end up with. I hope you're very happy and very successful there.
You know what?
What?
I'm wearing women's panties right now.
Okay.
You said we.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Kevin, do you think you could successfully make it?
Wow. Do you think?
I know I can't.
That was a moment with Bean.
That was pretty sweet. Wow. I am not a winner. Jim Rome talks sports coming up just after 8 on K-Rock. Ravis here now, time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning.
More details coming out about this whole Chris Brown arrest for assault with a deadly weapon. Bailey Curran, as we mentioned, or Bailey Curran is the name of the woman who called cops to Brown's house when she was allegedly assaulted by Brown pointing a gun at her. Here's the only thing that scares me. She's effing shaky, this Bailey Curran.
Yeah.
First of all, she's 2016's Miss California Regional. I don't know.
Don't ever forget that.
Don't ever forget that. So we have to give her benefit of the doubt. But she claimed that she and a business partner went to his house for a business meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she and the business partner were in the jacuzzi when they got out to look at some diamonds. I don't know what kind of business she's in, but it seems shady to me at best.
So you think maybe if she's shady, she was trying to steal something and that's why he pulled
a
gun?
But there's apparently some proof, according to TMZ, that she and Chris Brown were seeing each other. They were dating.
Oh, no.
So this isn't a business acquaintance like she's claiming. Her story seems shaky. It seems like she's hiding something or making something up or I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it. Because we had a chance. We had our chance.
Right. Yep.
I don't know if you have been following that she was stripped of her title as Miss California Regional.
What?
Yes.
Oh, no.
She's not even Miss California Regional anymore, although she is apparently being sued because she has refused to return the sash and the crown.
Well.
Wait, why was she stripped of it?
She was stripped of it because of a violation of a morals clause or something like that. Oh. They were investigating, and they had a clause that prohibits any form of alcohol or paraphernalia use, and they said she did not exhibit behavior befitting of a queen.
Oh, dear.
So she had the title for 2 months, but she still...
Did you actually use the words befitting
of a queen? Yeah. That's what was in the statement
I'm
from the pageant.
Somebody
yes.
out then.
Yeah.
But, it's Miss California Regional.
But listen, you guys.
The sash. I'm sorry.
Yes. She still has the sash in the crowd. She, A, won't return them. B, she's still posting photos of herself in them and claiming to be Miss California Regional, and she's not.
Oh, if I was dear. The Miss Regional contest, I'd be so angry right now.
Right? So she's a mess.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
But she's a, is, but she wasn't
look,
lying
look, about above all.
I want him
this,
to go
regardless
away.
Of her dubious trustworthiness,
right?
If she, if a gun was pointed at her, that's still a
agreed.
Real thing, regardless of whatever morality she may exhibit. That's mm-hmm. that nobody deserves to have a gun pointed.
Agreed.
At.
And they searched the house and found drugs and other weapons.
Right. Yes.
So that
they
we still got that.
They should still put Chris Brown down.
Yes.
No one's saying that's different.
Yes. Put him down or put him away, Bean?
Put him down.
Put him down.
Oh, at this okay. point, I'm sorry. 10 strikes and you're out, Chris Brown.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted. As I mentioned, September 20th is the court date. Well, we'll find out more. But I just wish there was a better victim. I don't think I've ever said those words before, but I wish it had been
a
like a nun or something who had been at Chris Brown's house at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Like nuns do.
What they do.
They love to
maybe
hot
maybe she could have been on a mission of mercy trying to save his soul. You don't know. Where's Sister California Regional? Where was she that night? Okay. I think this is a good idea. Don't you?
Yes. I love it.
I'm with you.
Good. Glad we all agree.
Wait, what idea?
Bill Nye the Science Guy with a TV talk show.
Yay!
Word is, a new show featuring Bill Nye called Bill Nye Saves the World will be coming out next spring on Netflix. It will reportedly explore science, as you can imagine, but its impact on politics, society, and pop culture. Come on, Kevin! Like, did you see his heated debate with the creationist, that guy where he was talking about evolution versus creationism? That
no.
was entertaining as
no, no.
all get out.
I'm okay.
Science!
Well, I just, I'm not.
Science! Come on, how do you not love science? Look, Kevin, this will take science and it will distill it down to a perspective that even you, I think, would appreciate and get on board
That's
with.
That's a pretty big claim.
No, I think he can do it. He can take science and make it applicable to you, the average simian.
Bean, is
I
he,
heard the jerk.
Bean, is he the guy that we took a car ride with?
Yes. We went out in Bill Nye's electric car one time, right? He's a very personable, very interesting man.
Yes, and entertaining and clever. Come on. Get on board, Kevin.
We have to get on board.
You do.
I really don't.
I heard the jury's still out on science.
No, it's right? not. It's for reals. And Winona Ryder, very excited, as we all are, that her series Stranger Things has been renewed for a second season of 9 episodes over there while we're talking about Netflix. First season wrapped up on July 15th. And you'll be getting more Stranger Things. They should call it Even Stranger Things.
That's an
or
idea.
The strangest things.
That's another idea.
So strange things.
Allie, are we going to run into problems with how fast these young men are growing up on Stranger Things? Aren't they at an age where a year makes a huge difference in the actors?
Apparently, they had to get the young man that played Dustin, Gayton, they had to get him back to do some rereads type of thing.
Right.
And his voice had changed, and they couldn't do it.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, let's get on our bikes and go see. Let's go see what's going on at that place. All that stuff's going on.
What happened to you, Jimmy?
It's a strange thing. My voice changed. Isn't that strange?
Because, you know, when a show's on long enough and all the kids grow up, it gets weird. Like,
right.
Two and a Half Men was a show about a little kid living with his, you know, his uncle and his friend or whatever. And then the next thing you know, that little kid is 20. And then
right.
it's weird.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be about a year or so.
Right.
I think
like,
good.
What about Odd Squad? Olive and Otto had to move on and hit up their own odd squad, and they had to bring in two new agents, Olympia and Otis, right?
I don't even
know.
Even
Oscar's not in the lab anymore.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
My kid's favorite show on PBS.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I'm very deeply involved in the Odd Squad mythos.
Okay.
Well, you should watch
it. I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you're saying.
Kevin, you should watch it because it's a very funny show.
Right.
And it helps you understand how numbers work.
Oh, that would be good for me.
I think you could. I
really could benefit from that.
I really do. You think I'd appreciate
that. How about that? Okay.
I have no idea what that means.
I teach you how to measure things and things that are greater than or less than.
Wow.
These number lines, you see exactly how...
I feel like I should know some of that stuff.
Well, I'm just saying a little brush-up couldn't hurt.
Okay, I'm in.
Today's celebrity birthday, Zendaya, is 20 years old today, speaking of kids' shows. She's growing up to be a lovely lady, isn't she?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Just wanted to double-check that. Dr. Phil McGraw is 66 years old.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
Actress Lily Tomlin is 77 years old, and TV show host Padma Lakshmi... She is 46. She, of course, is the host of Skillet Today. Very popular cooking show.
Again, it's called Top Chef.
I got to write that down because I can never remember.
Chef.
Top. Is that Chef? Is that Chef with a CH?
That's right.
That's
not as good a name, though, as Skillet Today.
Skillet Today, I think, would be more interesting. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
We so look forward to this time every week on the show as we welcome our friend Jim Rome to the broadcast. Of course, jimrome.com to hear the show from 9 till noon here on the West Coast. Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is a new podcast we talked about last week. Kevin, you know that Rome's got a podcast now?
Fantastic.
Available through iTunes and play it with all the best of from the Jim Rome Show. How are you, sir?
Bros, can I get a quick roll call? Who is here and who is not today?
I believe everybody is present. I believe we got a full complement of Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Allie on the show today.
Where's Sanchez?
Well, he's gone.
He's not here. Dave's
not
here.
So you don't have your full complement.
Okay, we don't. All right, but we don't consider him necessary.
Nor do I. All right, guys, good to be here. What's going on?
Well, Jim, Andrew Siciliano, our mutual friend, had a tweet this morning that I thought was fascinating. 704 NFL players will be told they are losing their jobs by 4 p.m. Saturday. How crucial is that final preseason game tonight for these players?
Well, it's pretty crucial for those guys, right? I mean, that's you talk about being on your grip and not knowing whether or not you're coming or you're going. So the guys who know are fine. It's not a critical game to them. But the guys who are waiting for that knock on the door, the guys who are waiting for that, please give us back your iPad, they've got to be sweating it. That is not a good place to be. And by the way, guys, we're in radio. We go through this every single year.
Yeah, true.
It could happen to any of us.
You're right about that. Now, there's going to be a lot of times the fourth game is the least important of all the games because you're really just playing guys that you'll never, for the most part, see again. But there is one face who we're all going to be watching tonight, and that's Colin Kaepernick. He's sitting down again for the anthem ahead of the 49ers game tonight, right? Like he said, that's going to be his deal till further notice.
That's his deal until further notice, and I'm not sure what you guys have done with this, but it's really something. For instance, I understand why people are getting so upset about this. Personally, this is not something that I would do. I would never not get off my feet for the national anthem, but I do have to say I do not have an issue with him doing it. I don't think that it makes him anti-military. I don't think that he hates America. I think he simply hates what he sees. Namely, police violence and racial inequality. So this is his way of bringing it to the forefront. I think he's got a right to do it. We could talk about whether or not that's the right platform for it, but personally, I have no issue with it. Where do you guys come out?
Same.
I feel the same.
Yeah, I think so, too. I
dislike him for it at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Does that make sense?
Why? No, not really. Why?
Because you stand for the national anthem. That's
right.
Just what you do. That's what you're taught. It's not you agree with everything or you sit down. No one agrees with everything.
No,
so,
I understand.
So you stand up.
So this notion about the platform, though, like you hear people saying, well, don't do it during the anthem. That is the flag. Respect the flag. Why don't you do an interview instead? Why don't you write a column? Why don't you scratch a check? Why don't you take out newspaper ads? I mean, he can do all these things, but it wouldn't get nearly the heat or the traction or the reaction that he's getting for it right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
If he writes a column last Friday, you and I are not talking about it right now on this program. The point of a protest is to make people feel uncomfortable, not comfortable. And by doing it this way, he's got everybody's attention, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, he did put it on the front page. And an interesting aspect of this fallout from the Kaepernick decision, Ali, you and I were talking about this off the air the other day, is the way that so many people within the NFL are reacting to it, which has been kind of surprising that this is the thing that upsets them more than so many other things other players have done.
Nobody's, you know, going after the domestic violence, the rapists, the abusers. That's fine. That's cool. Let that go. This dude doesn't stand. We cannot stand for this. This is horrible for the NFL.
Now, right?
Screw
I mean, we were talking about this, right, Ali? We talked about this in my program yesterday. You've got some anonymous executives there saying things like, this guy's a traitor. One guy said that if my owner came to me and said, bring this guy in, I might resign. I mean, these guys are going off on him, but I don't see these guys having any trouble at all with bringing Greg Hardy in. I don't see these guys having any trouble with Ray Rice. I mean, Ray Rice knocked out his then fiance and dragged her out of an elevator. Yeah. And nobody said things like, traitor, if you bring this guy in, I'm going to quit my job. I mean, the guy did not commit any crime. He didn't do anything violent. He didn't prevent anybody from protesting or prevent anybody from honoring the flag. I mean, the reaction to it is really over the top.
Josh Brown did get a one-game suspension for being arrested twice last year.
Right.
So that's good.
Right.
So they came down hard on him.
Integrity.
Right. One more PS on the Kaepernick story, and then we'll move on, Jim. I didn't hear your take on the show about Rodney Harrison. Did he step his foot in it with the comments that he made about Kaepernick?
The worst take in a series of terrible takes belongs to Rodney Harrison. First, he said that Kaepernick was not black, and therefore he had no idea what he was talking about and should not be talking about these matters. I mean, a take that was so ridiculous, he had him doubling back within an hour to apologize. But then he tweeted, just so you all know, I didn't even know he was mixed race. So, in Rodney's world, if he's not black and he didn't know that he's mixed race, he therefore must be white, right?
That's right, yeah.
So if you know nothing about this guy, and obviously you don't, then why are you going in and going so hard on this guy? And if you're an analyst for NBC, how do you not know anything about this guy?
Exactly.
So my man got in a hole and just kept digging and digging and digging.
Yeah, we're not talking about a player nobody's ever heard of. This is a guy who was in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Okay, Colin Kaepernick's story has been fairly well told in the media.
Right. And everybody knows it except Rodney Harrison, apparently, exactly. Who played in the NFL and is an analyst.
Let's move on to baseball. Tim Tebow had a workout at USC this week. 28 of 30 Major League Baseball teams came out to watch him play. And by all accounts, he was adequate. Right?
No.
Not even.
No. Hey, this guy did exactly what we expected from him. He shows up. He's gigantic. He can run a little. And he's got perfectly coiffed hair. But being a beast and having decent lettuce is the only thing he had going for him. How about this? One American League scout told USA Today, quote, it was like watching an actor trying to portray a baseball player.
Oh no.
Right? How's that taste, Timmy? But then again, why would anybody say that? Just because the guy showed up with headshots. Literally, headshots.
What?
Literally,
was he
headshots.
Passing about, was he?
Well, not a bio with a headshot, I guess, to be fair.
Okay, in your opinion, Jim, what's your best guess? You know how crazy the promotions get for minor league baseball teams anyway. It's tough to get people out to see that product in some cities. Will somebody give Tim Tebow a chance just because he's likely to put a lot of butts in the seats?
Of course. But he would have you believe that he's not in it for that. He's in it because he loves the game and he can be a major league baseball player. Let's be really clear about what this is about. This is not about him being a major league baseball player. This is about him trying to remain relevant. This is about him trying to keep his name out there. This is about him trying to build up Timmy Inc. This guy knows he's not going to be a Major League Baseball player. Oh, but what do you know? As soon as he shows up there, there's an apparel deal. Another coinky dink.
Mm.
So this guy is about being famous, not being a Major League Baseball player. And the good news is he can go all Kardashian and not even have to drop a sex tape to do it.
You know what's funny?
Good job. Good effort, Tim.
You know what's funny to me is that people start instantly comparing him to people who can play in the NFL and the major leagues. And he didn't play in the NFL well. He just flunked out of it. Don't compare him.
No, the comparison that like, oh, this guy's Bo Jackson or this guy's Brian Jordan or this guy's Deion Sanders. No, he's not. No, he's not. And how are you going to play a second sport when you couldn't figure out the nuances of your first sport? How are you going to play a second sport when you haven't played that game in over a decade as it is? I mean, the guy is playing all of us. And the media went hook, line, and sinker. Timmy is winning. He gets over again. And he does have good hair. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Good lettuce is what I heard on the Kevin DeBee
good
show.
Good lettuce. Right? Solid lettuce.
Jim Rome from 9 till noon today at jimrome.com. And, of course, don't forget, if you miss a second of the show, he's got a new podcast available at play.it or at iTunes with the best of, best takes, interviews, calls, sound bites, and so much more. jimrome.com. Great talk, sir. We'll do it again next week.
You guys are awesome.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up at 9, by the way. Looking forward to that. First, though, Ralph, you brought up an internet sensation, really. A lot of think pieces have been generated as a result of this original article that was posted on a site called themodernman.com. Tell me what Dan Bacon's talking about.
Dan Bacon is a blogger, and he has this blog, The Modern Man, which is sort of the opposite of a modern man. It's kind of like a Neanderthal man blog, and he talks about a lot of things, but mostly about picking up chicks, man. Scoring with the ladies.
Great.
And this is an older posting, actually, that someone reposted recently, and it caught fire on the internet. But basically, the premise was how to talk to a woman who is wearing headphones. So she's listening to music, she's listening to a podcast or something. How you can break through.
Now, mm-hmm. When you say that to me, I think she's wearing headphones because she doesn't want to talk to people.
Or, ding, 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 ding.
Right, that's worst case scenario.
And that's
best
fine.
Case scenario, she just wants to listen to her music. She's
right.
Busy listening, enjoying something that she's listening to.
Right. So
either way,
leave her
you
alone.
Should not enter her airspace.
Right. But he says,
oh, he's got a whole list of ways and techniques that you can get through to her and break through that and put the moves on. Yeah. There's a whole list of things. So people took that and they started to mock it and extrapolate out and say, you know, how to talk to a woman who's in a isolation tank, you know, and like
how to talk to a woman
who's hermetically sealed in a phone booth. I mean, just ways that you'd never, ever have access to someone. They've sort of made a spoof and a meme out of it. But in a lot of ways, a lot of women are saying this is a real problem, that while they feel that they are available at the whim of a man at any time, if he just happens to find her attractive, there's no personal space, there's no barrier where they feel safe out in public, because guys like this are out there thinking that they can just engage at will with any woman for any reason, regardless of the social, you know, dynamics of it.
Right.
So let me ask you this question then, Ralph.
Bean. This guy.
I'm sorry.
So, Bean's this guy.
Can you talk? Let's just say it as an example. She's not wearing headphones, but a woman is. You're standing behind a woman in line at the supermarket. You're waiting to check out at the supermarket.
There
can you
go.
Talk to that woman, or is that restricted airspace too? Because she's not in a nightclub where it might be expected.
See, Bean is already offended by this talk.
No, I'm asking.
Chap-assed. You know why?
I'm not chap-assed.
The problem with Bean and people of his ilk is that a lot of this depends on picking up subtle social cues.
This isn't subtle with headphones, though.
No.
The headphone is pretty much the strongest
part. I'm not arguing the headphones, but I'm just saying.
Now, if you're in a line at a supermarket,
yes.
And if the woman turns around, looks at your stuff and looks at you, makes eye contact and smiles at you, if there are social cues, then perhaps it's okay for you to talk to that person. The problem is, Bean, you are not aware and do not acknowledge one way or the other those social cues whatsoever. So I guarantee you, in your case, the woman's there just trying to get through the 12 items or less line. You're like, rutabagas. You don't see those purchased very often. Oh, what are your plans for those turnips? And then she has to deal with you, and she's just trying to get her groceries.
All right, let me ask
the girl.
So I
feel like we have two answers. One answer is for Bean, and then the other answer is for normal people. Who are in the world. Let me ask Allie that example. Mm-hmm. Supermarket. Guy mm-hmm. starts chatting you up in the supermarket line. Inappropriate and wrong?
No. It's a conversation.
It's okay to just be friendly
if
to somebody.
If I have headphones on, abso-freaking-lutely
okay.
not.
Yeah, you're advertising I don't want to talk
yeah,
to anyone.
Yeah, and you're essentially what you're saying by going up to a woman with headphones is, what I'm about to do is more important, and I am presuming that I have a chance with you, so the fact that you want to be left alone doesn't matter. I matter, and that's BS.
Let's hear from Dan Bacon himself, because he recently did a radio interview, I think with the BBC, maybe in Britain, where he was talking about this article about how to talk to a woman who is wearing headphones. What's Dan saying?
I mean, my position on it is that I think it's perfectly normal for a man and a woman to talk to each other, regardless of whether the conversation starts at a bar, a party, a cafe, or whether she happens to be wearing headphones. It's a simple human interaction, and it's also how a lot of couples meet.
Now here he goes into best crazy best case scenario.
Some say a lot of women wear headphones as a signal to other men that they're not interested. Would you accept that?
Oh, for sure. It's definitely, a woman's, she can do whatever she likes. If she wants to wear headphones as a signal to say to other men that she doesn't want to be approached, that's totally up to her. But my position on it is that if a man went and talked to a woman who didn't necessarily want to be spoken to when she had headphones on, and it turns out that they're a perfect match and they get into a relationship and then they get married and they live happily together for life.
They live happily together for life.
If you don't interrupt a woman while she's wearing headphones, you'll never be happily married for life.
That's his. Yeah. That's how it works.
That's his example.
That gamble is the perfect description of male privilege. What I'm about to do is going to be so great for you. Forget what you are trying to do, making me not talk to you.
I know better than you.
I know better than you, lady.
Well, maybe then you're missing out on your dream husband, Allie, because you're not willing to just lift the earbuds out for a second.
What he's about to do is more important than my absolutely saying, I don't want to be bothered. He's not my dream husband.
That's how I feel. I feel like if I talk to a woman with headphones on, she's already telling me, yes, I'm a dick.
Yes.
Because she's already saying, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Right. Yes.
What you should do
and that's fine.
Is stealthily follow her around all day until she takes the headphones off, right? You should stalk her all day long.
Until she finally removes the headphones.
Then you can talk to her silently from the bushes.
No.
Now we've got it.
So much right now.
We have some room for some phone calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. What are we looking for? We're looking for
people who were wearing headphones and then they met somebody else and they
married forever.
And they were happy for life.
No. Okay, but what if we can't find that exact example happening in real life?
I would like to hear from women who have stories about being outlandishly approached, being in social situations where they're obviously either engaged in another activity or obviously giving off signals that they want to be left alone, and yet dumb men encroached on their personal space regardless.
So in other words, if I approach a lady and she's in labor, maybe that's me not picking up on the signal that she's busy.
Yeah.
If she's in labor. That's a great example.
Or if there's a woman who's... Woman in a car, right? Mm-hmm. And then you roll down your window and go, oh, you're pretty. If someone would do that, that would be wildly inappropriate. That's insane. Nobody would do that. In my defense,
she was pretty. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Ladies, we want to hear from you. Where have you been chatted up where the signal should have been clear to the young gentleman that it wasn't appropriate? That's what we're looking for. Do I have that right?
Close enough.
If you're on the internet, you've probably seen it. A lot of talk about an article about approaching women who are wearing headphones. For the most part, to a lady, they will say, no, that's a signal. I'm not interested in conversation.
But I don't know how it's not a signal. I mean, to me, that's you're going out of your way in public to have headphones on. Mm-hmm. That's blatant. I don't want to be talking.
And I don't think necessarily, though, Kevin, that people, or women especially, are using that as some sort of signal, don't talk to me. I think maybe sometimes people just want to hear their music.
Well, there's that, too.
And even if that's the case, if they're just passively want to listen to their music, they obviously, that's important to them. They want to listen to their music, so leave them alone and let them enjoy that activity.
But what you guys are missing is Dan Bacon's advice. Stand in front of her with 1 to 1.5 meters between you. Have a confident, easygoing smile. If she hasn't already looked up at you, get her attention with a wave of your hand.
Holy moly.
Wave your hand in her direct line of vision so she can see it and say, hey, how's it going? She most likely won't hear you say that, but it's a way of showing her that you're trying to talk to her. Then smile, point to her headphones, and ask, can you take off the headphones for a minute?
Son of a bitch.
I punch him right in the face, right? Right?
All right. Let's take some calls at 1-800-520.
Look up here.
I'm going to do that if she's not paying attention to you.
We want to hear in particular.
Where's that bird coming from?
In particular from the ladies who have been on the receiving end of this kind of unwanted attention. Why don't we start with Lexi? She's on line 2, pleased to get us going in L.A.
Hey, Lexi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So this happens to lots of women, including you, right?
Yeah, so I never really have a problem with guys hitting on me as far as, like, I'm not going to be mean. I'll, be nice for a little bit. So thing is, I'm busy. I'm a nurse. I manage a spa right now, and I barely have time to myself. Mm-hmm. So if I go to the gym, I go late at night. I'm going late at night because I just want to get a workout in before I go to bed. So I'm there. It's 12:30 in the morning. I'm literally sprinting on the treadmill. I have my headphones on. This guy comes up to me and starts talking. So I kind of ignore it for a little bit. And then I take only one side of my headphone off. And he starts talking, starts asking how long I'm supposed to run before you do lifting. And I haven't stopped running.
Right.
And I even put my headphone back in. And he's still talking. And it's like, look, I was nice to you. I offered a little bit of conversation, but I'm just trying to focus on my own thing right now. And he kept talking and talking. And then, again, I had to take my headphone out. I was like, you know, would you like to go out sometime? And I'm like, look. Like,
Lexi, you're in a gym to look good for men. That's your problem.
Lexi, if I'm you, I take out my headphones and I choke him with them.
Yeah, wrap them right around his neck.
Well, wow. I was like, look, I really just want to get a run in. Please go in. He stood there for a few more seconds after I put him back in. And I was just like, look, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. I don't know what part of me being here at midnight makes you think I have any life, let alone time for this. But I just thought it was hilarious. And
Lexi,
I had to let you guys know.
How long should you wait after you fall off a stage before you start lifting weights?
Thank you for the call, Lexi. We appreciate it.
I'm glad Lexi called too, but that's why she's not married, is that attitude.
All right. See, this is the problem here.
I'm just saying.
Before you move on, we just got a tweet that says, I'm having trouble telling the difference between Kevin and Bean. And I would just like to say, in this particular moment, Kevin is the one. I'm the one saying, don't talk to the girl.
Yeah, right? Most sexist comments will come from Bean.
Correct.
And by most, 99.9.
I'm not being sexist at all.
Right, no, not at all. But I'm saying, if somebody comes across as sexist, it's most likely Bean.
Let's try Amy in Studio City and see if a woman has a good story.
Hi.
Hey, Amy. So this happens to you?
It happens a lot. I have a lot of stories to share, but I'll just use one from Trader Joe's recently.
Okay.
I like to grocery shop with my earphones in because I like to listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And I do kind of dance around and I sing, whatever. So I'm in the produce section and I'm paying attention to whatever I'm looking at. And a guy comes up to me. And I think he was doing the standing there and giving me the look for a little bit. And I finally look up and I just look at him and he starts to talk and obviously I can't hear him. I slowly take out one of my earbuds and he says, I just wanted to tell you, you're a beautiful girl.
Did he say it like this? I just want to tell you, you're beautiful.
I couldn't help but notice how you're fondling that zucchini.
Well, look, if we're in the produce section, I'm going right for nice melons, just so you know.
The produce section.
Who calls it the produce?
What is happening?
So, Amy, your point is when you're in the supermarket, you just don't want to be talked to, or because you had headphones on, you said it should have been clear you didn't want to be talked to.
No. Wait, hold on. My response is good.
Yes.
So
okay.
I think it was well intentioned. I'm a 37-year-old woman, not a girl. But thank you. But no, if I see someone that I'm interested in, I will definitely take the earphones out. I'll give eye contact.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the thing, fellas. If a woman wants to engage with you, you will absolutely know it.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Amy.
Especially in the produce section.
Especially. Hey, let's say Bean's in the produce section.
Let's go to Adam in Redondo Beach, by the way. He may have a counter opinion for us to hear.
Oh, great. No. Hey, Adam.
Bean's people.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good.
What say you?
Good. So, listen, girls have it bad, and I feel bad for them because most guys are just idiots. This guy, first of all, last name Bacon, seriously. Second of all.
It's the only thing I liked about him.
Of course, his advice is stupid because he's a guy and we don't do this very well.
Okay.
But the fact is we have to compete with our phones and with people all the time. The places we meet our partners are shortening and shrinking. So we have to compete with the headphones. We have to compete with the phones all the time.
But I'm saying, don't you think a woman who's wearing headphones judges you immediately when you walk up and start talking negatively?
No question. Headphones.
So don't do that.
But be entitled to do it anyway, Adam.
I'm saying, don't do that.
I don't think it's entitlement, Allie.
What is it?
It's a feminist issue. Here's what it is. When you get in a relationship, you have to get there first. But the relationship of it brings things out of you, and you have to get out of your shell. Because, look, listen, it's a miracle I got married. It's a miracle being a guy married.
Agreed, man.
Listen, okay? So, but the fact that he still goes to IHOP and he gets out of his island every once in a while is a tribute to his wife. So
he
has to be able to push past these boundaries in order to get there.
But there's something about personal space, Adam, that an individual is entitled to, male or female. And if they're engaged in an activity that they wanted to be engaged in that is solitary, who are you to impinge upon that?
Absolutely correct. However, 90% of the time you see a woman anywhere, they're on their phone. That's just how it is.
That is true. I think what Adam is saying here, if I understand correctly, is there are fewer and fewer opportunities where there are just two people sitting, not doing anything else, where there's nothing that you're interrupting if you want to talk to that person, right?
Right.
Right. Interrupting if she's got headphones on.
But we're saying if she's got headphones on,
always interrupting.
Well, I mean,
you're not always interrupting, first of all.
Adam is always interrupting.
You are, yes. But there are social situations where you can engage with people.
Shut up.
There's work, there's school, there's friends, there's parties. I mean, there are plenty of social situations that are built for interaction. Pursue those.
Okay.
Well, he's married. Don't pursue those.
No, right.
If we're friends, and if we're not together already.
Yeah, I agree with that phone ringing.
Right?
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, we're out of time. We're out of time. So the takeaway is stop it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop it.
Let's ask Dr. Drew, and we have him on. I know we have another topic, too, but a listener says that Dr. Drew met his wife while his wife was on a date with another man, and he interrupted them to talk to her.
Did she have headphones on?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Dr. Drew's got game.
He does.
Susan was across the room, like giving him the eye and everything.
Yeah.
Making gestures that caused attention.
Yeah. While she was on a date with someone else?
Yes,
I doubt that.
She was.
Wow. I doubt that.
Susan's a sex bomb, that lady.
You can steal a lady away from a guy while he's on a date with her.
But he's Drew. Look at him. He's dreamy and he's buff and he's a genius. Yeah.
He's all
it's not
things.
For mortals. Don't try that at home, mortals.
Yeah.
That's superheroes all night. All right, that's coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's new?
Would anyone be surprised if I told you that we found out that Bean talked to a lady with headphones not 2 days ago? Would anyone be surprised to hear that?
It was an accident, by the way. I didn't know she had headphones on. They were little tiny earbuds.
And that didn't come up in the last half hour?
Bean, what was your first sentence to the woman at night,
look, I
on
think
a
we,
bike.
Wait, this didn't on. Come up in the last
this,
30
no,
minutes?
Bean?
We ran out of time. Look, we moved on from that topic. So let's good. Move on and do the next thing.
But you continue the topic with Dr. Drew.
You
correct.
Can talk you to Dr. Drew about,
did
about
you
how
you the topic.
Yes, he did.
Please answer the question.
Yes, because we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about how he met his wife.
So since that topic was continued.
I'll allow it, but be brief. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Short version of the story is.
Please address the court.
I was in Los Angeles because of Breakfast with Sting. So I'm standing on Venice Boulevard, ready to cross the street, mm-hmm. and a lady on a bicycle pulls up next to me, also waiting for the crosswalk.
It was nighttime, correct?
It was sunset.
Okay.
And I says
you dropped
to her,
your pants.
I says to her, it seemed like it would be really dangerous to be riding a bike at this time of night with people in Los Angeles maybe famously not expecting to see someone on a bike. Are you ever concerned about that?
So you saw a girl on a bike and you said, isn't it dangerous?
Do you feel unsafe right now?
The word that you used was dangerous three words?
As the sun's going down in L.A. on Venice Boulevard.
Isn't it dangerous?
Look, I was just making conversation. I was being friendly. I was being concerned. I wasn't in any way hitting on her.
I
wasn't creepy.
You.
It wasn't sexually.
I should ride along next to you. I'll protect you from cars.
It was just me legitimately being concerned about how easy it would be at that time of night.
How concerned you are for the health of strangers. I know that about you.
That's why Bean walks the streets at night to take care of them, make sure everybody's safe.
They call him the guardian of Seattle. He's just out there just helping people cross the street, buying them produce.
We had a very nice conversation, and it was not creepy.
If we talked to her, it would be a completely different story.
She's like, I'm just trying to ride my bike. I'm just trying to get a little exercise to go home. And I'm
at a
light.
In.
I can't go through the light. I got headphones on. And next thing I know, Sasquatch is talking to me.
I couldn't see the headphones. They were tiny little earbuds, and it was getting dark. So I wasn't trying
to. Well, your concern is
thank you.
Touching.
All right, now can we move on?
My concern is you touching. Yes, we can move
Judge
on.
Judy.
I'll allow it.
Judge Judy, by the way, one of the richest women in television.
Yeah. Like tens of millions a year, right?
Oh, please. She clears about $47 million a year with her show.
That's baloney.
Almost
$50 million. It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. Because you own the show, And it's one of the most successful syndicated shows on television still.
Most of the time, there's a production company or somebody else, but she bought the show. So she now she makes all
And it's the number one syndicated show on television. So for all the money, it goes to her.
Not interested, sir.
You should be. Because she's now developed a scripted drama that she's shopping around. The idea for the series is about the youngest judge in New York who cuts through the chaos in family court but can't seem to maintain control of her own life outside the courtroom.
So you get Zippo, nada.
It's called Her Honor, and apparently CBS is going to be the network that airs this show. And so Judge Judy will get even richer if this show goes to series as they expect it will.
I don't believe you for a second.
It's true, Judy. It's right here.
I want you to answer my question.
She's awesome, by the way.
I didn't see the earbuds, Your Honor.
I don't believe you, madam, at all.
It's true. Today's celebrity birthdays. Zendaya is 20 years old today.
Why did Bean say produce?
Do we know? We may never get
to
the bottom of that.
Do we have time for that? I said him. I said, do you say it like that? I don't know, Allie. I just said it.
Do we not have time for that?
I don't say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Bean, do you say produce?
I don't know if I do or not.
That means you do.
I think it might be the British pronunciation, and I think that may have been my error.
Okay. Back to you, Ralph. Sorry.
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage. Produce. I don't say produce. I say produce.
Lily Tomlin, 77 years old today. And Padma Lakshmi, speaking of produce and other things that you cook with.
From Skillet Today?
No, she's from Souffle Mania.
Oh! Okay.
A very popular show on Bravo about rocking.
Souffle Mania.
No, it's
46 years
Top
old
Chef.
Today.
Show's just called Top Chef.
And
that's
follows,
the show
of course,
she's on.
Cook a Lot Joe. Still.
I'm glad
biggest
he's
show
back.
Over there.
It's been renewed again?
Thank God.
It was canceled for 1 hour.
Fans demanded it back. No, there was a write-in campaign. They were sending in spices to the head of the network. And
in an hour?
Yeah.
FedEx and Instacart were used, apparently. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with speed.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the phone. Hey, while you can, watch him on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 4. The final episode of his show is going to be September 22nd. Hillary Clinton had him fired, you guys. That's how that whole thing came down. I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that, too. But, in fact, inaccurate. Not true.
That's not true?
Not true.
Oh, and okay. We are going to be seeing you going forward on the mothership. You'll have some presence on the big CNN,
yeah,
right?
That is the plan. The plan is to go up to the major. So that's, okay. At this point, the way it's looking.
And, of course, Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood.
Unless Hillary blocks that, too. So.
Exactly. Hey, Dr. Drew, we have a topic we want to talk to you about that's in the news right now. But real quick, just as a P.S. to a conversation we had last hour, we were talking about ways to approach women and when is an inappropriate time. And a listener wrote in and suggested that they had heard you say on Loveline that you met your wife while she was on a date with another man. True or false?
She had a boyfriend, and we actually were on, believe it or not, Loveline together. She was working at the station at the time, and I just met her in the parking lot, and I said, look, I don't do this. I've never done this, but this is my phone number. I don't want to get in the way of your relationship, but if this doesn't work out, I just want you to call me. That's all I did.
Okay. What's happening? It's not a...
And then right then...
It's not a sexy time thing, right?
Right,
but we're not suggesting that at all. Okay, that's fine.
Did you have sex with her that night?
No.
Okay.
All right, the listener had thought she literally was on a date with another man and
no,
you stole her.
That's, that I could not have pulled off.
That would have been way cooler.
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. In the news.
He just said that would have been a lot cooler. Would have been a lot cooler if you did.
Anthony Weiner is back in the news, and he is, refresh my memory, Doctor, he is a former New York State congressman, right?
And a former mayoral candidate for the city of New York, right?
Right. And he lost both of those jobs because of sexting scandals, because he seems to have an inability to not take pictures of his penis and send them via text to women around the country. And recently, he's been trying to rehabilitate his image for a long time. And recently, he said to the New York Post, August 21st, he said, if they want to snoop around in my backyard and spy on me, I guess they're welcome to do it. I don't have anything to hide. 1 week later, the Post had a front page article about him sending a shirtless selfie to a woman, and he's in bed, and his little kid is sleeping in the bed next to him. And that was the final straw for America and for his wife, who promptly filed for separation.
Right. And, of course, his wife is Uma Abedin. I can never get her name right. who is a prominent advisor for the Hillary Clinton campaign.
And that's why you got fired from CNN.
She had me fired.
Oh, right.
Hillary didn't. Uma did. No.
Doc, we've talked to you many times over the years about people who have addictions related to sex. Is that the case? Is that on the outside? Does it appear like Anthony Weiner? You always talk about how one thing about addiction is if you start losing friends, you start losing jobs, you start spending all your time doing something, it means you have a problem. It's starting to look from the outside like this dude has that problem.
It's not only that, Bean, but in sex addiction, the final sort of straw is, yes, the consequences like you've described, but you also described the sort of the phenomenon that differentiates sex addiction from other compulsions, which is the loss of control. As you said, he declares that this is not a problem 1 week before, and then all of a sudden he's doing this. So it's the loss of control. Now, I don't know him. We're speculating. We're just talking about sex addiction generally. But we really don't know if he has sex addiction. I mean, one of the possibilities, of course, is that he's just miserable in his marriage and he's just acting out online in strange ways.
Well, that's how this came up as we were talking off the air about how do we know he's just not an a-hole?
Well, but let me go on.
Okay.
So, but the fact that this child gets into this is a sort of a tell. Like, Child Protective Services is going to be at their door. This is a profound, profound problem. And that tells me that this is more than just an unhappy husband acting out online. This is someone who's into behaviors that are reckless, that he can't control, and the consequences for which he would never imagine, and yet here they are. And that pretty much sums up addiction for me. And we don't know whether he was treated in the past, right? He had some sort of treatment, and quote, the way the language they were using back then did not suggest to me that they were actively engaged in a comprehensive treatment for this problem. But they may have been, and they may have been trying, and maybe this was a slip. And, you know, as with all addictions, there's not sort of a straight road to recovery and complete cure, and abstinence is always backslides, or this is just a progression and no active treatment.
So would this be considered like a hypersexual disorder, or is there something else?
Well, you're getting into the weeds of
what is
diagnosis, and, you know.
Kevin.
We don't need the sexy music. Okay. Let the man talk.
My bad.
that sex addiction is not a formal DSM-5 diagnosis. It's a construct to help people sort of help patients and understand things and treat things. And so, yes, hypersexual disorder is more in that zone. And you mentioned Kevin is the guy just an a-hole. Well, that's not a diagnostic term either.
No.
But sex addicts, men, often break down into two sort of general camps. One is the sort of shame-based addict that's doing things they don't like and gets more ashamed and does it more because they're ashamed, versus the grandiose narcissist that feels entitled to all this. And clearly, if indeed that's what this man has, he sort of fits in this latter category.
So he could be an a-hole but still be an addict, is what you're saying.
We wouldn't call him an a-hole.
Right.
We would call him sort of the narcissist.
A narcissist, which is an a-hole.
Yeah.
So
you need to make a-hole an okay
go ahead
term.
And just do that.
Just use it.
It's so interesting, too, Dr. Drew, because it's very easy for us on the outside to just write this guy off as being a loser or a disgusting pig or something like that. But, I mean, there really could be mental health issues here, right? Because there's no reasonable person who would keep taking this same chance and making the same mistake over and over and over again with as much as it cost him.
That's exactly right, Devin. And not only that, but please don't sit in judgment and disdain of this man. Think of the misery that this behavior, this problem is creating for this child, his wife, the people around him, himself. Now, he may not be in the pain yet, right? Because he's sort of on that grandiose spectrum, maybe. We don't know him. They don't feel what they've done until the defenses start to come down. And when they do, they are shattered. So it's a shattering, horrible problem, and it's just so sad.
Oh, what about this? Could they possibly have an open relationship?
Yeah, well, that's, again, there's possibilities here other than sex addiction, for sure. And we don't know them. Again, I have to keep reiterating that. But the fact that the kid got into the
I didn't
here.
Know that part.
Yeah, you've got to move the kid to the other side of the bed when you're.
And no one is suggesting any impropriety with the child, but the point is you shouldn't be having sexy time thoughts if you're laying on a bed with your son.
Well, it's the behaviors in the context and the disregard for and all the consequence and what's to come. You add that up and you go, look, that's a threshold issue. Like, even if you are. I hope you are. I hope you're a sex addict.
Right,
that helps
exactly.
Understand what's going on here.
All right. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all the podcasts and all the information, including, I don't have it in front of me, Dr. Drew, but you got the upcoming gig with Mike Cathwood on the 8th, right?
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. September 8th. That's next week. Please show up over at the Ice House in Pasadena, September 8th. We want people miss Loveline. We miss Loveline. So we want to do sort of an interactive thing with the audience. bring Loveline live.
That is going to be
not exactly, but that kind of thing.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, look for Dr. Drew this afternoon at 4 on HLN and this afternoon as well with Mike. Noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Have a great week, Doc. Great talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Kevin, do you think you could successfully make it?
Wow. Do you think?
I know I can't.
That was a moment with Bean.
Pretty sweet.
And the fact that he was talking about succinctly tell a story.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I was.
He wanted to know if I could call the radio station and get right. past the screeners and tell a story on the air.
Right.
And my answer would have been probably not, and his was clearly not.
I'm not that big of a Bean fan.
Well, no one can blame you there, sir.
That's true.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning, Kevin, a Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, just Kanye's the best. Just that's what all we know, right?
No.
We've always known that.
Right? Mm-hmm. He's currently in the midst of his St. Pablo tour. You know he floats above the stage. You know that, right?
Now, I want to stop you right there. The pictures that I have seen from the show, mm-hmm. he's not up there on that spaceship above the stage all the time, is he? That's just for a song or two? Because that would be hella annoying if you were in the crowd and you had to look up.
Hella.
And you have to look up.
Bay Area.
Come on.
Hella.
You're forcing us to hit you in the face. Stop it.
Don't lose track of what I'm saying.
Well, then don't say hella.
It would be terribly annoying.
Yes.
Awfully annoying.
Totes a noise.
To have to look up at the top of the venue all night.
Yes, you're right.
He's up there all the time?
Yes.
That's terrible planning.
Cause baby, I'm awesome.
He is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Y'all know.
All right, so why is he the best now?
Because Kim Kardashian posted some photos from backstage at his concert on Wednesday night. And gave us a little insight into his rider. You know I love the concert riders.
Oh, I love this so much.
Yeah. It turns out on this newest tour... And he's had some over-the-top riders in the past, including 13 bottles of liquor backstage at every venue that he went to that totaled over $3,000 in booze every time he would just...
If you want to host Kanye as a concert, you have to get this stuff in the room. But love it.
This Kardashian's photo was captioned, Pablo Ryder is lit. And then she said, it's hella lit.
Did she?
Yes.
Here's did what Kanye tell her to stop saying that?
He did. Here's what he gets. Two slushy machines, one with Grey Goose and lemonade, and the other with Hennessy and Coke slushies. So yeah. It's like a Slurpee machine.
Sort of like that.
I dig it.
Oh, that's for children.
I can't believe Kevin doesn't have one of those.
That sounds pretty good.
It's not.
Well, you don't know. Have you tasted it?
I wouldn't.
It just sounds good.
Why would
good?
I have a Hennessy and Coke slushy? Or at Grey Goose and Lemonade Slushy.
I'm just saying it sounds good.
Your point is you can still pour those into a glass, right?
I'm saying drink. If you want to drink, drink like a person. You don't need a slushy machine.
No, but it makes it better.
It doesn't make it better is my point, Kevin. Only if you're like an 8-year-old like you eating a PB&J with a Coke and Hennessy slushy. Before you
had a PB&J yesterday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Of course you did.
Could have used one.
Didn't have the slushy.
Could have used one, huh?
Could have used one. Could have washed down the PB&J with a slushy.
So refreshing.
Oh.
Like it's like
this
having
is
ice.
Fame, bro.
Right?
Yeah. Like ice, but super crushed.
I'm familiar with what a slushy is.
Oh, because I could explain it more.
What's the point of thinking?
Really good.
I'm just saying he's classy with his Hennessy and Coke slushy. And by the way, if you're drinking Hennessy, which is a fine cognac, you don't mix it with a Slurpee.
I mean,
that's not the best way to enjoy that particular liquor.
Maybe you wouldn't full time, but it wouldn't hurt to try it once.
It reminds me of my tremendous bartending days with the fury that I felt when some collar popping douchebag would invariably waddle up to my bar and ask for a blended strawberry margarita, but make sure to use the high end Patron. And then I would take a straw and I would stab him in the eye with it.
Oh.
If you're going to drink like a child, you don't need the high-end booze for that. If I give you a blended strawberry margarita...
Yeah, it's going to be the crap.
I can mm-hmm. use...
Of course.
I can use Uncle Pedro's bar swill.
Is that a thing?
It is now.
Okay.
It's going to be my new tequila brand. I hope you all pick it up. And it's not going to matter to you what you're drinking your strawberry margarita. you douche.
I'm sorry for the realness.
That's the Hennessy and slushy combo.
Sands.
Grey Goose and lemonade.
It hurts to try it.
It's going to hurt you when you try it, because I'm going to hurt you. This is cool. Yesterday, day before, I forget what it was, we were talking about the passing of movie legend Gene Wilder, one of the greats. It dawned on me that maybe some people have not been had the honor of seeing his work. So this is a cool thing that's happening. The AMC theater chain is doing a nationwide tribute to the late Gene Wilder this holiday weekend. On September 3rd and 4th, Willy Wonka is going to play at 5 p.m. at 55 theaters around the United States, and then Blazing Saddles will be screening at 7:30 p.m. at AMC theaters all around. Here locally, these are the ones where you can check out Gene Wilder's work on September 3rd and 4th. The Ontario Mills 30 from AMC, the Orange 30, and the AMC Burbank Theater will all be showing these films. So a chance to see Willy Wonka again up on the big screen. Pretty cool. Blazing Saddles, also a classic. So
I want a good movie.
There's two options for you right there. After you go to the Arclight Hollywood and watch Yoga Hosers, then you can go see any film you want after that, including
these
two. I
didn't hear
the
Yoga Hosers part.
Well,
that's strange.
It's just...
Is that a given?
It's a given, right? That's where everybody's headed.
You do the slushy first. Yeah, but and then Yoga Hosers.
You know, you can bring booze in the Arclight, and you can have a cocktail.
I am aware of that.
You have your cocktails while you're watching the movie.
Yep.
It's pretty strong.
No, you can do that in any theater.
Nuh-uh.
That's the right way.
Illegally. See? You're one of the bad ones. You'll be deported. With that kind of attitude.
That's an airtight argument, though.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Things are getting shaky around this Chris Brown story. He is out of jail, of course. He was released on $250,000 bail after his arrest for allegedly pointing a gun at a woman at his house. Assault with a deadly weapon, they're calling the charge. He has a court date on September the 20th. The problem may be, however, with the victim's testimony. Her name is Bailey Curran. Bailey Curran. A lot of people are asking me to play Kevin.
Oh, no. Come on now.
Kevin.
No,
it's close enough.
Wait
close
a minute.
Close enough.
But they want to hear Kevin.
How dare you?
Announce our favorite singer at the Grammys. Every time I say Bailey Curran, a lot of people think of Corinne Bayrailey.
Or whatever her name
Corinne
is.
Corinne Bayrailey.
An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale. Wow. Corinne Bale Rea. An unforgettable moment with
Let's do it again.
Yeah. What's her name?
Bailey Curran.
Ah.
Kevin, God damn it.
Well
every
said, Kevin.
Fucking time, Kevin. God damn it, seriously.
Now, she said in her...
Sorry, Cartman.
In her conversation that she was at Chris Brown's house with a business partner of hers, and that the two women went to Chris's house for a business conversation.
But weren't they in a hot tub?
Well, there was a little hot tubbing, but it doesn't mean you can't mix business with pleasure sometimes, Kevin.
Okay. But wasn't it 3 a.m?
Okay, sometimes you have... Look, sometimes in the world of big business, you have bizarre meeting hours.
Okay. So they had a meeting.
It was
meeting.
A business conversation.
Okay.
When she was talking to a gentleman who was selling a diamond cross necklace, and that's when Chris went off pointing a gun at her and throwing her out of the house. That's when she called the police. Here's the thing. There is apparently substantial evidence that she and Chris Brown were, in fact, dating. So it wasn't a business relationship at all. And no one knows what business conversation does involve swimming and hot tubbing. But look. Who are we to say? I guess we'll find out as things start to become more clear. But
we know his history.
Yeah, even if she was dating him.
Yeah.
Although I can't understand why she wouldn't admit that if that was the case. Why didn't she say, yeah, Chris and I have been dating and I was at his house at a party and then he pulled a gun on me and I felt my life was threatened and I called police.
Would you admit to dating him?
Yeah. I wouldn't admit to being at the house in the first place.
Good point.
Why are we all talking out the sides of our mouth?
It's odd.
So it's Corinne Ray Bailey? Is that how the
I'm
name
not,
Corinne
not, I'm
Ray
not
Bailey.
Play it again.
That's how the name is.
Right, sure.
Corinne
Bailey Ray. I think.
No.
I really
Corinne
don't know.
Corinne Ray Bailey.
I honestly don't know.
Really? It's hard to tell because really? from that tape it sounded like you did know.
Corinne Bailey Ray. an unforgettable moment with an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale. Wow. An Corinne Bale Ray. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again.
And they did or did not invite you back to do the Grammy voiceovers after that?
They did.
Yep.
Which was a mistake on their part. But I remember that the sound engineer was laughing so much
he couldn't do his job
that I said, you have to put that on a CD because the guys won't believe it, even though I work with them and they probably know that it would happen. So
yeah,
he put it on a CD.
Celebrity birthdays today. All these stars were born on the 1st of September. Zendaya celebrates her 20th birthday today. Dr. Phil McGraw, TV show host and doctor?
He's former doctor, right?
No.
Yeah, he had his license taken away from him in the state of Texas, yes.
That makes sense. He's 66 years old. Actress Lily Tomlin is 77. And TV host Padma Lakshmi, she celebrates her 46th birthday. She is the host, of course, of the popular cooking show Steaming with Produce.
It's top chef. It's called Top Chef.
First of all, no one says produce.
Well, some people do.
No one does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon at 5 p.m. with an hour of commercial-free music on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, it's Friday morning, so we've got the movie beat. We're going to talk to Coleman Domingo, who is Victor on Fear the Walking Dead. We're going to talk to Adam Carolla, and we're going to talk to R.J. Bell about a little thing called the NFL. Tomorrow morning.